the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run.
Fires down the middle.
It is intercepted by Micah Hyde. Intercepted. Tre Day. Tre'Davious White.
He's in trouble. He is sacked. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. McCoy cuts to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones here from One Bills Drive in our One Buffalo studio. Back on the air, the full three-hour complement of radio television excellence today after an abbreviated show yesterday. I was not here yesterday, but Donald was here with Steve Tasker. We thank Steve for filling in yesterday, doing yeoman work on the broadcast. And we're here for now for the full three-hour show, Donald and I, to talk about the Bills and the NFL on what is, I guess, an important day on the NFL calendar, although you begin to wonder if it'll have any application at all to the Buffalo Bills. And the importance of it today is the first day the teams can tag free agents. That starts today at 4 p.m. We do not anticipate that the Bills are going to have any tagging to do today, either franchise or restricted free agent or non-exclusive franchise, transition tag, none of that. We haven't been told this, but we don't think that the Bills are going to be active in tagging today, but it is the first day, and it does force some teams into making some moves, and we'll talk about some of those moves that are being made around the National Football League already. But the first day of tagging is today, the first step towards free agency, with the league year now just about 3 weeks away, March 14th, the legal tampering period a couple of days before that, and then free agency wide open after that. And, we're getting started here. We are just a week away from the combine, as a matter of fact. Next week, we'll be leaving late Tuesday, a week from today, for Indianapolis and begin our series of NFL combine shows starting next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow, and that'll be the 28th of February. And 3 days there, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So as you can see, we're powering through the offseason, getting into the part of the season where moves can be made. We anticipate the Bills are ready to make their moves. We think it's going to be a quiet week around here this week, with today the first day of the tags. But after that, starting next week, everything's on the table, you would think. Everything is on the table as far as free agent moves. The Bills will be talking to agents, one would think, at the Combine in Indianapolis, agents for their own and for some of the other players around the league. We anticipate that will start happening next week, and news will start to come out. Next Wednesday, Bills GM Brandon Bean and head coach Sean McDermott will meet with the media at the Combine, and we'll be there for that. Pick up their comments. Hope to have them both live on our show, separate occasions during the Combine next Wednesday. And then, of course, you have Thursday and Friday a chance to get together with some of the prospects. We'll be doing some of that. And the entire NFL league is there, really, the entire NFL media and the whole contingent of the NFL there next week, starting Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at the NFL Combine. In the meantime, today, tag day, franchise tag day. NFL teams, three different options, tagging options to keep players under club control. Non-exclusive franchise tag as of 4 o'clock, the most commonly used tag that teams can use. Exclusive franchise tag, which is a one-year tender offer, and players as an exclusive franchise tag, they cannot negotiate with another team. And finally, the transition tag, a half measure to try to keep a player, but not necessarily at a premium price. Starting 4 o'clock today, teams can start to tag players. We'll talk about that today, talk about the Bills' really dearth of potential tagging players that they have. We'll also talk about the Bills looking ahead. Now, they have some decisions to make in free agency. They have some, obviously, big decisions to make in the draft with a bevy of draft picks. And they also have second-year players. You know, the great Marv Levy used to say that the greatest improvement for an NFL player comes in the season between his rookie year and his second year in the NFL. So we all know the Bills had a pretty solid draft class last year, got a lot of playing time out of a lot of different people. But we want to talk to you a little bit today about what to expect from the second-year players, the guys who had those good rookie years or maybe didn't have a great rookie year but still are on the roster and maybe have something to contribute. That's our Twitter poll today. We want to get a thought from you on who you're looking for to be the biggest contributor of second-year players in 2018. Our Twitter poll, which 2017 Bills rookie has a chance to contribute the most in 2018. We offer you four options, and there are others too. We'd really prefer if you call in and talk about it, because we left Nathan Peterman's name off this list. I think he might have something to contribute. But which 2017 Bills rookie has a chance to contribute the most in 2018? Tre'Davious White's on the list. Hard to imagine him getting, you know, being a lot more important than he was this year as far as contributing more this year. But right now in the early balloting, 52% of you say you believe he has a chance to contribute the most in 2018. 22% of you think Zay Jones has the most to contribute. 15% think the linebacker Matt Milano. Only 11% say the offensive tackle Deion Dawkins. What do you think? Which Bills rookie this past year has a chance to contribute the most in 2018? You can vote on Twitter. You can weigh in on Twitter. But you can also, you know, give us a call and talk about it, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. John Murphy and Donald Jones from our One Buffalo studio. Good afternoon, Donald. Good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
How did it go yesterday? I understand it went okay, right?
Yeah, it went all right yesterday.
I mean, just all right.
Just all right. Talk about a bunch of different things. Yeah. I mean, the 2 hour is a big difference in,
sure is.
In three.
Absolutely.
You can feel that difference. But it was good. We talked about a lot of different things. Obviously, quarterbacks ran the show yesterday. So
no way.
You start getting into quarterback talk, you'll talk about it the entire show.
We can do that, too, if somebody wants to talk about that. What about our Twitter poll, Donald? Which rookie from last year has the chance to contribute the most in 2018? Right now on Twitter, 52%, more than half of the respondents say it is Tre'Davious White. 22% say Zay Jones. 15% say the linebacker Matt Milano. 11% say Deion Dawkins. We leave off some other rookies who saw some playing time last year, including Tanner Vallejo, got a little bit of playing time last year. I'm trying to think what other rookies played last year that could be on this list. Nathan Peterman, obviously. I guess we're not considering Eddie Yarbrough a rookie last year, right? He played before that.
Yeah.
So we'll leave him off this list. Deion Dawkins is on the list. He would get my vote as the one
Deion?
Who has the chance. Yeah, the chance to contribute the most in his second year, because I kind of view him as a starter. He started games last year, started a lot of them. And I think he's going to jump right in and be a starter right from the beginning of the season this year. So my vote would go to Deion Dawkins. But let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Deion Dawkins with 11 starts, played all 16 games last year. What do you think, Donna? Which rookie in 2017 has the most to contribute in 2018? What do you think?
I think, and I see your argument with Deion Dawkins, and I think I would go with Matt Milano, but for the same reasons. Both of those guys weren't the starters going into the season. I think both of those guys will be the starters going into this season, barring, you know, no injuries or anything like that. But I think Matt Milano, with the experience that he got in the defense and on special teams in the beginning of the year, it's really going to help him. And now he'll have an entire offseason, not having to go through the draft or any of that stuff, an entire offseason playing the linebacker position. And it will make him a lot better. And if he has no injuries, I would think that he would be the day one starter unless they draft someone or someone comes in and takes that spot from him. But I think he's going to improve a lot throughout this offseason, and I think he's going to be a good player, and he's going to contribute a lot to this team throughout the course of the season.
Milano played all 16 games, started five. I mentioned the 10 starts for Deion Dawkins. Tre'Davious White started all 16 games last year. Obviously, Nathan Peterman got himself a couple of starts, two starts on the season, played in four different games. Which rookie do you think will contribute the most? We got lines open at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. A couple of tweets on this. Tre'Davious White, this is from Brenda Lacey. Tre'Davious White, hands down, just need to keep Gronkowski off of him. Yeah, that's true. I just don't know, you know, Tre'Davious White, to me, approached his ceiling, I would think, last year. He played so well. I mean, they come out the pro football focus numbers. Tre'Davious mm-hmm. White is what, the third rated cornerback, not rookie,
yeah,
third rated cornerback among all corners in the league last year, graded out from Pro Football Focus, the number one rookie cornerback in the league.
I mean, good ones.
What more are you looking for from Tre White? Can he get better? Yeah, he can get better, but I just think he's got to be pretty close to his ceiling, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, and I guess this really goes on just the way we we worded the question. Could contribute most? I mean, he's going to contribute. I expect the same out of him, if not better. I mean, you know, so he's going to contribute a lot on that defense. Don't know who's going to be on the other side. We know the reports of Vontae Davis and all that stuff. Don't know who's going to be on the other side, but I think we should expect the same thing from Tre'Davious. And really, he's kind of set the bar high for himself, where people are expecting a season like he had last year. So for me, I'm going to go with the other guys because I think those guys now coming in the year with a full offseason that they're going to go through, the weight program, all of that stuff, being here in a pro offseason is going to really help these guys once they get into training camp and into the season, and they'll be able to contribute from day one.
Yeah, maybe it is faulty wording on the question because, yeah, I think Tre'Davious White will contribute a lot. I guess in terms of improvement, a jump up, I don't know how much of a jump I don't know how far he has to jump, to be honest with you, Tre'Davious White.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's the flaw in the question. Milano, I agree with you. I think Milano is going to be heard from this year, potentially as a starter, 5 starts last year. I think Deion Dawkins is my pick because I think Dawkins is on his way to being a starter for the entire season this year, either left side or maybe the right side tackle. But I do think he has a lot to offer. What do you think?
At this point, I can't see him moving him back to the right side. I see him being the lock for the left starting tackle position unless he just falls off the wagon here when we get into the offseason program and the training camp and all that stuff. But I see him as the day one starter at left tackle. If anybody would move, it would be Cordy Glenn, and I think he's going to really be on the trade market here once we truly get around draft time. It would be Cordy Glenn to the right side if they would like to keep him here. I think Deion is the left tackle now, and they don't want to mess with that too much.
I agree with you. I think that's where he's going to start the season. Zay Jones is interesting, Donald. What if I told you that I'm going to quiz you here because I would get this wrong. If I asked you how many starts did Zay Jones have last season, what would you guess?
Ooh. That's tricky. Let me see, 16, I would say 11 games.
10, you're close. I would have guessed less than 10. I would think maybe 10. Half. Started 10, 27 catches, 2 touchdowns. And look, we all anticipated more from Zay Jones last year, right? Didn't we? We did.
We
all anticipated they're going to get more from Zay Jones last year.
Because you seen what he could do when he was in college. You seen what he did at the Senior Bowl, and you're like, man, this kid is good. And then we hyped him up.
We sure did.
Because of what he was in college. And, and that's why we always talk about the draft. It's not an exact science. You don't know what you're getting from these kids. You don't know what type of seasons. I mean, veterans in this league have bad seasons. So a rookie can surely come into this thing having a great career in college and come in and just have a rough season. We all expect it more, and we all expect more from him moving forward. So, you know, hopefully he goes through a very good offseason, and he's ready to go. And I think if Kelvin Benjamin is healthy the entire season, and you can get another speed demon going up the sideline, it will help out Zay Jones. He won't have as much pressure on him to be the guy that everybody's looking for because he was drafted so high and they traded up a couple of spots to get him.
Pressure or not, he's got to make catches, right? And that was so uncharacteristic about what we knew and what we saw from his college career. We anticipated a comfort level with McGagan here as his position coach. That will change this year, a new position coach for Zay Jones and the entire wide receiving group. But it was a surprise, I think, a mild disappointment at least, that Zay Jones was not more productive than he was, 27 catches, 2 of them for touchdowns. And the drops, that really a trend that began in preseason and never quite resolved itself. I think he got better as the season went along.
Yeah.
But not, you know, substantially better.
Not substantially better. And then they really just stopped throwing the ball to him as much. And that's what's tough because, you know, when a kid is or anybody's going through a drought or a rough season or something like that, a couple of bad games, you would like to keep on going to him. But at some point, the quarterback himself and maybe even the coaching staff, you're like, all right, we have to – you got to catch the ball. You got to catch the ball. It's time to step up. You're not looking at you as a rookie anymore. So hopefully he's the same way. He'll go through an entire offseason, and maybe once he gets into training camp, preseason games, the game has maybe it will slow down. And like you were saying, for the most part, guys improve the most between their first and second seasons. And then your second and third season, you're really settling in. But your biggest improvement, you want to see, I don't care if you went undrafted, you want to see that from your first to second seasons in the NFL. So you need to see him actually start to make those plays that he wasn't able to make, because the game, he's just a little more comfortable now. The game slows down a little bit for him. And hopefully he's not pressing and trying to, I got to make every play. That's always in his mind. Just go back to playing high school and college football. You know,
right.
Yeah, you're in the NFL, but just go back to having fun.
Right. And I hope, you know, if there's pressure last year, we'll, you know, get used to it, right?
I mean, it's the NFL. You're always going to have pressure to make plays in this league.
Which rookie from last year do you think will contribute the most, will improve the most from last year to this? Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Or you can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. John Murphy, Donald Jones here until 3. We're going to talk about the offensive line a little bit later today as we go through our position-by-position group. Talk about who they have coming back and what they look for from that group, and maybe who's out there in preseason. Will Brinson from CBSSports.com is going to join us at 2 o'clock. He's going to talk about some of the trades that might happen before the draft. He's going to talk about Lamar Jackson, some controversial comments by Bill Polian yesterday about Lamar Jackson. What did you make of that? Bill Polian talking about Lamar Jackson is a better fit at wide receiver than he would be at quarterback. We're talking about, what, one of the top 5-6 quarterbacks in this year's NFL draft class from Louisville. That's the first time I heard anybody really talk seriously about a position switch for Lamar Jackson. I was surprised.
I've talked to one of our producers, J.J. Torito, about Lamar Jackson switching to wide receiver, and I've said, I think they're going to try to switch him to wide receiver. And he's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. I just know sometimes how these GMs and coaches think. You know, the guy runs around a lot. He's not your typical or prototypical quarterback, 6'5", 6'6", standing in the pocket, standing tall, throwing the ball. He's an athlete. He wants to make plays with his legs. And so because of that, people start to naturally think, well, we can switch him to wide receiver and he can make plays at the wide receiver position. I hate when they start to do things like that or say things like that to these quarterbacks that are mobile quarterbacks. You know, let that guy – look, you draft him. I understand. If you're not going to draft him in the first round, I get that. If you want to draft them in the second, third round, fourth round even, something like that, you're not going to totally pass up on the guy, but don't change his position because he's an athlete. He's been playing quarterback his entire life. He won the Heisman Trophy as a quarterback.
Yeah.
He's thrown for over 3,000 yards. Yeah, he's ran for 50 touchdowns, but the dude can play football. Let him play, and if he gets here and he can't do it at that point, when you're asking him to make those reads, then you can transition him to wide receiver, but don't just put that on him. As soon as he's coming into the league, what did he say? He was not tall enough. I'm like, the dude is 6'3".
Yeah.
So, I mean, those comments were, they kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but it's just how it goes.
We'll talk with Will Brinson about that at 2. We'll talk about Bill's second-year players. Where will the improvement come from? Give us a call, 803-0550. Toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. A couple of tweets on this. Marriott tweets in. Deion Dawkins would have the most to contribute in his second year. Deion Dawkins with a hope we can move on from Glenn and his contract and have that spot set. Yeah, I'm kind of thinking along those lines too. Josh Sikorsky tweets, and Dawkins, I believe, will be a big part of the offense. Glenn is still up in the air, and we really don't know his future in Buffalo. Glenn is a big contract, has some great trade value. He has trade value, although his contract will be a little bit tough to shop. Alex Jones talking about Zay Jones. Tweets, and this is worth mentioning. He says the fact that he played the whole season with a torn labrum would be tough for anyone.
True. That is true. That is very true. Anybody doing anything with a torn labrum, it's tough to just walk around, move your arm to put deodorant on if you have a torn labrum. So you're out there trying to play football, getting hit, trying to make plays and all this. It's tough to do. And hopefully he can come out and have a better season. But do you think Cordy Glenn's contract will be tough to trade at this point in the year? It's kind of hard during the season.
I think it's a little cumbersome given his injury history.
Yeah. With the injury history. It's just right now, because you have free agency and everything, I think teams would be a little more willing, if he's healthy, teams would be a little more willing to make that trade and take on that contract, because you're already going to pay a left tackle anyway some big money.
Right.
So if you can just take on that contract that he has and however many years he has left on that contract, then it's kind of like paying a guy in free agency.
Yeah. Here's a tweet on this question of which rookie will have the most to contribute, the most improvement this year. Colton Lemke tweets in, please explain what you mean when you say Trey White already reached his ceiling. How can someone who has 1 year experience in the league already hit the best their game will be? I was thinking he's approaching his ceiling. I think he was sensational last year. How much more, I guess my point is, how much better could Trey White play than he played last year? You know, if you believe in the analytics, the grades from Pro Football Focus, and he's the third graded, highest graded corner in the league, then what? I guess he could be the top highest graded corner in the league. Maybe he can get there. I just think compared to the others, and sure, Trey White can get better, but compared to the others, Zay Jones, Deion Dawkins, Matt Milano, I think they have further to go as far as hitting their ceiling than Trey White does. Would you agree with that, Don?
I think that, yeah, he has – obviously he can improve. But when you look at the stats and the analytics and all of that stuff, right now being the third highest corner in the league in terms of last year, I mean, that's a great thing for him for a rookie. And, yeah, you can say, well, he can be the top. I think the biggest thing is you got to look at on the field. Trey White made a lot of plays on the field, forcing fumbles, pass breakups, interceptions. And I think people will say, well, he gave up some big plays this year. Everybody gives up big plays. I don't care if you were Darrell Revis. You will give up some in his prime. Deion Sanders in his prime. The best of them in their prime have given up big plays. And I guess you could say, well, he can cut down on those. I mean, it's going to happen. You're playing the best players in the world, some of the best receivers in the world. There were games where he was locking up on the top players, following them the entire game. I mean, they locked him up on Rob Gronkowski. He's going to give up big plays. Mike Evans, those dudes. You're going to give up some big plays. But for the most part, everybody, I think, across the league, national reporters, everybody knows that this kid is right now one of the better corners in the game. Can he improve? Yeah, he can improve on technique and everything. But it's not much more that you can ask out of Trey White.
Let's hear from you. The line's open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Which rookie from last year has the most improvement to come this year? Which will be the biggest contributor as far as improvement this year? Give us a call. A couple of notes from around the league. The Houston Texans have told linebacker Brian Cushing he will be released before March 14th, the start of the new league year. Mm-hmm. Part of the business, Cushing told the Houston Chronicle. Last season, Cushing was suspended for 10 games for violating the NFL policy on performance-enhancing substances. Previously suspended in 2010 for violating the same policy. The Texans have Bernardrick McKinney and rookies Dylan Cole and Zach Cunningham taking over at middle linebacker. Cushing played mostly outside when he returned. Brian Cushing going to be released by the Houston Texans. That word coming down today. And Tampa Bay is putting a pretty capable running back on the market. The Bucs are ready to release running back Doug Martin after six seasons. The team, not really a surprise. He failed to rush for 450 yards for the second straight season. Tampa will save $6.75 million on the salary cap by releasing Doug Martin. Either one of those two interest you, Donald, for the hometown team here, the Buffalo Bills, Cushing?
No. Not Cushing at all.
Two-time offender.
Yeah.
Count on him.
You can't count on him at all. And you start taking the steroids and things like that, you're just not going to stay healthy. And he's shown that he can't stay healthy as well. He's been injured in this league. So I wouldn't really touch Brian Cushing. The running back, Doug Martin, I think it depends on how much money he's trying to get.
I was going to say at the right price.
Yeah, at the right price, I'm cool with it because you already have LeSean McCoy who's getting paid, and I don't think you're going to mess with his contract. So I think Doug Martin is a guy who, if at the right price, and he, to be honest with you, any running backs in this league, unless you are the top dude every year, you have to expect that these teams are going to look at you and say, look, we'll pay you a couple million dollars, but we're not breaking the bank for you because there are so many young running backs coming out every year that are being drafted in the fifth, sixth, seventh round that are coming into this league and playing very well.
Yep.
That teams are not paying these veteran running backs like that. It's just what it is now in this league. So you have to expect going into free agency that I'm not going to be able to make that much money. I just want to go and play and hopefully I can get the most I can get. But you have to know that these teams are not going to break the bank open for you.
Which 2017 Bills rookie has the most to contribute for 2018? Give us a call, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Or talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. The phone lines are open. Here is Mike calling from Connecticut. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the air with us. Hi.
Hey, John, Donald. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Two quick things. One, I believe Zay Jones is the rookie that has the most room for improvement in year two.
Tell us why, Mike, if you would.
Well, just based on him being hurt last year, second round pick, you know, he had like the most receptions at, not TCU, I forgot the college he played at.
East Carolina.
East Carolina. So I think his ceiling is obviously, you know, he has a great ceiling, and I think if stays healthy and has a rapport with whichever quarterback it is, I think year two he should really, you know, break out of that slump, or I'm hoping at least. The only other question I had is regarding, you know, if the Bills trade, you know, trade up in the draft with like the Giants, which is rumored.
Saw that rumor.
Soon, can they actually do that? Like, can that be done today, tomorrow, Ooh. Or does it have to be closer to the draft? Like, I don't know what the timeline is for a team to like make a deal now with another team and switch draft picks.
I would say this. Number one, I don't know the actual timeline in terms of when they can do it, but I would say this. Just keep in mind that this coach, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, are methodical in everything that they do.
I think they can do it now, can't they?
They might be able to. But if you're the Giants, why would you do it now?
Right.
You know, I mean, the closer you get, you can field more offers, and teams are going to offer a lot of different things. So it's kind of like when these college kids are being recruited and they end up committing early, and then people are like, man, you didn't even take any visits. You only went on one visit. You get five of them. Why'd you do that? You know? But I think ultimately they will field more offers the closer and closer that they get the draft time, because now the pressure is really on. The pressure is not really on to make those trades right now. And you don't even really know, like, you've watched these kids in college and all of that stuff, but you haven't even gotten to the combine yet to do the medical checks and do any of that stuff yet. So I don't expect any trades or anything like that to really go down until the week of the draft.
Over the weekend, that report came out, Donald, reported by, I think, a radio guy in Denver, that the Bills had a strong interest in moving up. The Giants mentioned as a possible trade partner. I don't know where that came from. We have not heard that around here, which is not rule it out. But I don't know about you. That would surprise me, a big move up. I don't know. I'm sure they're interested in getting a quarterback. Do they love Josh Rosen, UCLA, enough to forfeit essentially the rest of their draft and do that? I'm skeptical about that. I'm not ruling it out, but I'm very skeptical. And this time of year, as the draft approaches and the combine approaches next week, anybody who claims they have any sort of inside intel into the Bills or anybody else's intentions, I think, I'm fairly skeptical, I think, because they don't leak here on issues like that.
They don't leak here, and I don't know why it would start to happen. I just don't. Look, here's the thing.
Did anybody say they were going to take the move down last year? Different regime, but there was no leak of.
No, there was no leak at all. No. And I don't think that they would leak that now. Now, we do know that this is the time of all baloney talk right now.
Yeah.
Teams put stuff out, agents put stuff out, all of that stuff. So you don't even know where that stuff is even coming from.
Right.
And if it was leaked from here, why would it go to a radio guy in Denver?
I don't know.
And not like Rappaport or one of those guys.
Right.
You know, that just doesn't really make sense. So you don't know where that came from. You obviously can look at it and say, well, they have the relationship with Gettleman from Carolina and all of that stuff. But if you're the Giants, what's your real motivation, unless the Bills are going to offer everything at them, what's your real motivation to move out of that spot? You can take – I mean, you're a team that sucked last year, for lack of a better term. You were terrible.
Yeah.
You can draft the quarterback right there. If you don't want to take a quarterback, there's plenty of other guys. You need a running back. Saquon Barkley is probably, for me, the best player in the draft this year, the most talented player in the draft. You haven't had a running back – a good, solid running back that you could say, man, we could really count on this guy since, I don't know, Tiki Barber maybe? Maybe those years? So I don't know what their real motivation is unless a team is offering everything at them. And I don't know how much the Bills want to offer the Giants to move up to that spot.
I'm skeptical about that report, but people will jump on that now this time of year. It's kind of – we're in the overheated part of the NFL offseason where anything –
it's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse.
Next week when we get to the combine.
We get to the combine next week. You're right.
You're going to be like, Dave Gettleman and Brandon Bean were sitting at a bar together.
So there's
going to be a picture.
Yeah.
This is how it happens.
All right, we're just getting rolling here. Want to know from you, which 2017 rookie has the most to contribute to the Bills in 2018? What's the highest ceiling for improvement? We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about the proposal that's out there for a different sort of an NBA playoff setup, reseeding the playoffs. We'll talk about that when we return. And the phone lines are open for you. The lines are open at 803-0550. Toll free 1-888-550-2550. Combine next week. Season tickets are on sale right now for the Buffalo Bills. And now's the time to jump on that. Call 1-877-BB-TIX. And you can go online also to BuffaloBills.com if you're interested. Club seats available. They've got brand new club seats going in. It'll be pretty obvious when you get in there and see that. Season tickets available now with all kinds of benefits, Bills Bucks and exclusive member events, access to NFL Red Zone and Game Pass, a whole lot more. 2018 Bills season tickets, call 1-877-BB-TIX for more information. Back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
John Murphy, Donald Jones back in our One Buffalo studio. Good afternoon, everybody. How do you like this weather, Donald? It's like 65 degrees out there. A little cloudy, a little rain, a little wind.
I mean, I love it.
Can you find something? No, I'm just kidding. You
got I walked out this morning. I do.
You do. Everybody's on to you.
I walked out this morning, and I'm like, man, this is all right. Because I was going to start the car. I'm like, this is all right. This is not that bad. I mean, it was raining, but I'll take the temperature.
I think, can I say with some measure of certainty, I think, I'm not saying winter's over, I'm not saying spring is here, but I believe we've turned the corner. I think the worst of the winter is behind us. Does that scare you when I say that?
It does scare me, because then we'll get another storm.
There's another storm coming.
Yeah, we're going to get another storm. But I'll tell you the one thing I like about, once you start getting into March and the days get a little bit longer, you look at 6 o'clock and it's still a little daylight out. You're like, uh-oh, here we go. We're getting close, baby. I'm looking forward to these longer days. That's the one part about the winter. When it's cold and it's snowing, that's one part of it. But when it's getting dark at 4:30 in the evening or in the afternoon, you're like, oh, Jesus. I mean, can we just get a little longer, maybe another hour of some daylight or something like that? And then it just makes the days that much longer. So the fact that the days are getting a little bit longer, I'm loving it.
Good. A little longer, a little warmer. I'm not saying we're over the winter, but I do think we've turned the corner. We're on the back end of the winter now.
We're on the back end. I'll be home later. I looked at the weather back home. It's like 70.
Yeah, it's going to be 70 here today.
I was like, yes.
I just turned on the AC in our little studio here.
And I like to, you know, I work out. I like to go to the gym and everything. I like to run outside. You know, even on the field, if it's a track, whatever it is, going in the gym every day is terrible to me.
It's a beautiful day, kind of, here in Western New York.
Kind of.
A lot to talk about. Want to talk with you about second-year Bills players who's got the most to say about the upcoming season. A couple of tweets on this. Seamus Clancy, if the question is most to contribute in 18, I would say Trey. If the question is who can contribute more than in 17, I would say Zay. I guess that's the question. You know, it's hard to frame questions in Twitter sometimes.
It is.
And we went back and forth on this. Yeah. He goes, I'd say Zay, grab a speed wide receiver for the outside, get Zay healthy and back in the role he is most comfortable in.
And that's really more in the slot, more of a possession type of guy. Zay can get up the sideline, but I don't think you want to count on him every down to be that guy going down the field. But if you got Kelvin Benjamin, you got somebody else on the other side that can really take
fast
the top
guy
off the defense. Yeah, fast guy that you can depend on to catch the ball down the field. And then you got Zay working underneath in the slot. I mean, that's what you want.
Yeah. There's another tweet that is interesting. Bills and Mets fan, four great choices. I want to see what Milano can really do with a full season and lots of playing time, but the obvious answer is Trey Day. He's a rare, special talent. I want to see what Milano can do with a full season, lots of playing time, and a full off season. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I think Matt Milano has we haven't seen him. He hasn't been around that I've seen in the last couple of weeks here since the season has ended. But I think Matt Milano has a lot of development, physical development work to do this offseason. I'm sure he's on a pretty strict program and trying to adhere to exactly what they want him to do. But, you know, you want him to get bigger, obviously. Mm-hmm. You want to be a little more stout. You don't want him to lose his speed. And, I think there's a big upside for Matt Milano. Maybe that's what we should have how we should have framed the question, which 2017 rookie has the biggest upside in 2018.
I think his experience that he got in year one is going to be huge going into year two. He knows, and as a player, you know, and the coaches will say when you do your exit interviews, they'll say, yeah, we'd like for you to get a little bit bigger. We'd like for you to do this and that. And obviously you want to do what they're asking you to do. But ultimately, you know, as a player, I need to get better at this because you're on the field. You have the feel of the game. And you know, all right, I wasn't fast enough getting to this play. I wasn't fast enough getting to this play. And you watch yourself on film, you're like, man, I suck.
Yeah.
at certain things. And so those are the things that you'll go and you'll work on in the offseason. And so he's going to go and work on whatever it is he feels like. If you're a true pro, you know, nobody's perfect at everything. You can improve every year at something. And you'll go and improve at that. And I think he's going to come back in year two. And I think with Coach McDermott, we know he likes speed at the linebacker position. And I think Matt Milano, yeah, even if you get bigger, you don't lose your speed. That would be the worst thing he could do, is to lose that speed.
If they do not bring Preston Brown back, Matt Milano becomes preeminent there, don't you think?
In the middle?
In the middle. Not big enough?
I don't know if it's not big enough. I think you would like to have him on the outside, whether it's the Will or the Sam. You'd like to have him on the outside because he's more in coverage. You know, he can help out in coverage. He was a converted safety down the linebacker. You put him in the middle, and he's just coming downhill making plays in the middle. Or he's going sideline to sideline, but I think you want to use that ability to cover.
Yeah,
More than
Kuechly
him.
I'm thinking Kuechly
type. Yeah, no, the Kuechly type is important. But I think because he was good for them on the outside and he started to show improvement throughout the course of the year, they will want to keep him there. If you don't bring back Preston Brown, you need to figure out somebody else that could go in the middle. Maybe – And you need that person to really be the leader of the defense. And so not sure if Matt Milano is ready to do that yet and call the plays and all that stuff. But you have to find somebody who can come downhill and make some plays for
Coach
you.
Peggs tweets in, I think Matt Milano is going to make some big strides. When he was in the game, he made plays. He should be starting next season. Then he adds, what do you think of the shopping shady rumors? Are there shopping shady rumors? I was not here yesterday. Am I missing something?
We didn't talk about any
that.
Of that yesterday.
Have you heard that? I haven't heard that.
I feel like I've seen people have tweeted me different things. And different ideas. You could trade Shady for this, and this, or trade Shady for Nick Foles or something like that. I highly doubt that they would trade Shady at this point. But, I mean, even though I say highly doubt, you never know with these coaches and this regime. They've made some bold moves. But if you trade away LeSean McCoy, you better have a running back that's coming in here that can do it all.
Yeah.
And it's rare to find somebody like LeSean McCoy.
You better get a passing game together, too.
Exactly.
Because that's it as
that's
far as
it.
Offense
right.
for the Bills. Here's a call from Lou in Tampa. Hello, Lou. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. I think Matt Milano could possibly be the best second-year player to improve, kind of like what you were just saying. Hopefully, if Preston Brown's gone, he could possibly be the quarterback of the defense, kind of like Luke Kuechly in Carolina. But I think Zay Jones has gotten a bad rap ever since. He caught a ball in the Jets game, the first game, and then against Carolina, that end zone, that was a tough catch. Like, you know, that was a
– Oh, yeah, I don't blame him for that.
No catch. And it feels – he feels like that, you know, every ball for him was like a 14-yard out route that – was 11 feet in the air, and people like Tolbert would get a ball right between the numbers. So I think he got a bad rap, and hopefully with better chemistry, he could be a great receiver.
Yeah, I mean, chemistry with the wide receivers is important. Zay dropped some balls this year that were right in his wheel basket that he could make, and I'm sure he would say that himself, I could make that play. The Carolina play, I think it was more on the route than the actual ball. The ball was behind him because the route distribution wasn't where it should have been, and you would like a better throw, whatever the case may be. I think that was kind of on everybody. For me, Zay Jones, he started out the year tough, and then the second Jets game, he looked like he was getting into a rhythm in that game, and then all of a sudden, he gets hurt because of a cheap play. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. He gets hurt, and then throughout the rest of the season, you could see him actually making a play every now and then. A play.
I'm sorry. I'm doing a million different things here. I'm trying to get the sports cast together for the top of the hour.
You could see him making a play every now and then, but it was like he never got that rhythm back. You know, so you could see it coming on in that second Jets game, that night game. But after that injury, it just never really came back into full rhythm. So hopefully moving forward into next year, he can get into training camp. Whoever the quarterback is going to be, they get on a good rapport. He, Kelvin Benjamin, whoever else, Charles Clay, all of them, Nick O'Leary, they can all get on a good rhythm with everyone, and they can really make some plays. Because this offense, the passing game, has to look different than it did last year. It truly does. You can't rely on LeSean McCoy so much. You want to get him the ball, but – this passing game last year, I mean, there were so many check down throws to LeSean McCoy. You want to be able to – look, if I'm checking it down, I'm checking it down to Zay Jones right at 7 yards or something like that. Let him catch it and run with it. So I just want to see different things out of this offense. And I want to see Zay Jones improve, and I hope he gets the opportunity to improve under a new offensive coordinator.
This call from John in Lockport. Go ahead, John. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Long-time listener here. Love you guys' show. Listen every day. I'm just calling. I believe that Zay Jones is going to be a breakout player this year, you know, with a healthy Kelvin Benjamin. I think that'll complement him a lot better. Our offense needs to get in a better groove with the passing game. You know, we didn't do too much on the passing game last year, so that, I think, you know, damaged us a little bit. And I think Deion Dawkins, too, he showed that, you know, he can play more than one position on the O-line. That, you know, if you don't hear his name called too often, he's doing a pretty good job on the offensive line. So I just wanted to hear about your guys' take on that. I'll let you guys go. Have a great day. Thank you.
What do you think, Don?
I think Deion, yeah, you didn't hear much about him. Once he became the full-time starter, you didn't hear much about Deion Dawkins. And that's a great thing, especially from your left tackle, because that's the position where the defensive ends are rushing from the left and right side. You can kind of hide. You can't hide because everybody will see that so-and-so just gave up a sack. But at the left tackle spot, it's right there in everybody's view because those are the guys that people focus on. You focus on the defensive ends rushing off the left and right side. And because you didn't hear that much from him, and he really impressed me the first time he really started a game, and I could be wrong on this, but one game that I paid attention to was the Denver game against Von Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave up the sack, like, first or second play of the game. And then after that, I mean, he did a very good job on Von Miller. And you didn't really hear much out of him moving forward against Khalil Mack, against some of the better pass rushers in the NFL. He did a very good job against.
All right, which rookie will contribute the most? We still want to talk about a potential new playoff format for the NFL as well. All of that coming up when we return. It is the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts live at One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show for this Tuesday. John Murphy, Donald Jones coming in from our One Buffalo studio. Very warm. It's like summertime One Buffalo studio, isn't it? A little bit?
You warm in here?
It's warm. Yeah, I went in to try to turn the AC on in February, mid-February.
Wow.
Yeah, that's great.
I feel good.
Yeah, it feels warm to me.
Nice sweater on.
What do you think of this? We're asking you, what do you think of these Bills second-year players who's got the biggest room for improvement this year? Give us a call. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. Jerry on the line from Tonawanda. Go ahead, Jerry. You're on the air.
Yeah, John, I want to know what you guys think about possibly Sam Bradford or Teddy Bridgewater in a trade or whatever.
I mean, well, it's not going to be a trade.
It's a big difference, trade,
yeah,
whatever.
I mean, those guys are free agents,
yeah.
So I don't see – Teddy Bridgewater is not a free agent yet. We're still waiting on what's going to happen with him, if he's still going to be a Viking or not. If they bring him back, I highly doubt that they would trade him, because they would need a backup quarterback, number one. Sam Bradford, I think, is the guy who's going to end up out of there. And if you ask me what do I think about him coming here in free agency, it's always going to come back to the number, how much you're paying him. I don't think he deserves $20-plus million. I don't care. He's stolen a lot of money in this league since he got drafted. and he's just so injury prone that you can't pay him that much money. So if you can get him at the right number for a year or something like that, then I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a million, we talked about this last week. You probably talked about it with Steve yesterday.
Yes.
There's a million different ways right now to find a quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. Right. And there's a half dozen or more teams that are in the same boat. I mean, just imagine, it's like having all these doors in front. It's like the old Let's Make a Deal TV show.
Yeah.
Instead of door number one, two, or three, you've got 12 doors in front of you. It's just impossible to say. Look, I think Sam Bradford is a good quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater is a good quarterback. There may be somebody else out there. Would I go crazy trying to get either one of them? No, because all these other dominoes have to fall in place. Alex Smith trade was move one. Kirk Cousins is going to be on the free agent market. That's move two. You would think he's going to be free agented, you know, going to be free. Huh?
AJ McCarron.
All right, that's move 2A.
Yeah.
And there's between now and March 14th, which is only now 3 weeks away, there's likely to be a couple of more moves, right, that are going to complicate things.
You know, I think a guy like Chase Daniels is going to end up here. You know, a guy who's backed up Drew Brees, sat behind Drew Brees for some years now, understands how to play the game. We haven't really seen him play that much, but I think you're not going to have to pay him a lot of money. He can come in here, hopefully win you some games. You'll still end up drafting somebody, knowing that that guy is going to be the quarterback of the future. Chase Daniels, if he comes out in the first half of the season and is playing horrible, hopefully he can come out and have a good season. You don't have to put that draft pick in right away. If not, you know people are going to be calling for the draft pick anyway.
Right.
You know, so I think you need to go ahead and sign a guy like Chase Daniels.
Yeah.
Not a name that people want to hear. But I think that's where they're going to end up going.
I just don't know how to answer questions about where they're going with quarterbacks because everything is on the table right now.
Yeah, everything is on the table.
Everything is out there.
The one thing that I don't know how to answer, but I can guess at this, is that they're not going to break the bank for one of these guys.
In the draft.
In free agency. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to pay Kirk Cousins $27.5 million a year. I don't think they're going to pay A.J. McCarron. He's going to get paid. Somebody's going to pay him. They're going to do some five-year deal that's a one-year deal. I don't think they're going to do that. And Sam Bradford, I don't think they're going to pay him that much money either. And I think you have so many teams that need quarterbacks that have a little more money than the Bills do that are going to offer these guys a little bit more money. Places like Arizona, places like the Jets that, quite frankly, might be places that guys are – they look at and say, well, I can go to Arizona, and they have a good defense. They have a lot of pieces in place already. Right now with this team, you don't know what this team has in place. You have so many free agents. You know you have a good young team that made it to the playoffs. But as a free agent quarterback, some of these guys are saying, I want to go somewhere that I can win.
Yeah.
Denver, you know, is going to throw some money at somebody. The Cleveland Browns might throw some money at somebody.
And still,
yeah, all of these teams – have some money that they can throw at them. The Bills are projected to only have, what, $29 million right now. So you can't throw $25, $27 million at a quarterback because then you don't have anything else to play with. So I see them signing a guy that you don't have to pay that much money.
Here's a call from Pat in North Tonawanda. Go ahead, Pat. Welcome.
Yeah, Dono, this is Buffalo, Miami of the North.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. How about Nathan Peterman being the most impactful rookie? Because I really think, you know, we throw it all out and we don't know what's going to happen with the quarterback. But they had enough confidence in him to throw him in there when we were in the middle of a playoff race. And if they show me that much confidence, everything points to him because our needs, like you guys are saying, I agree with you, that we don't need to break the bank. We're trying to dig out of this financial mess that we've been left in. And if we start that rookie, we'd be able to go out and get a defensive lineman, a linebacker, a speed wide receiver, and maybe another offensive lineman. You know, four guys in the top, you know, 100 picks would really be good. If they have enough confidence to start Nathan Peterman when we were in the middle of a playoff race, why not start him at the beginning of the season? I know that. You know, I think they would want a veteran to step in if the experiment goes wrong or their plans go wrong. But what do you guys think?
I think you make a valid point, to be honest with you, Pat. I really do. The confidence in Donald, this is Donald's point from way back towards the end of the season. The confidence they displayed letting Peterman start that game in L.A., obviously it didn't work out that day, but the confidence the brain trust here displayed, you cannot ignore when it comes to their quarterback decision.
No.
I mean, not to say that they shouldn't draft one. I think they should. You know, I guess at that point in mid-November, the calculation was he's the best option, not necessarily he's our franchise or our future.
Right.
Now, they have a chance now to reset and find a franchise quarterback if they want in the draft or even just improve at the position if they want. But you can't just walk away from that decision back in mid-November and say, yeah, let's get better. They're not done with Nathan Peterman, I don't believe.
Yeah, you it's like, I mean, you can't just, because the kid had one bad game, say that, okay, our confidence is totally shot in this kid. Because it wasn't all his fault. Some of the throws, yeah, but it wasn't all his fault. Now, the last throw in the playoff game, you could say, yeah, you need to work on that. But I think now they're going to look at this thing and say, this kid, we're going to have him for an entire offseason in a new system. Hopefully he can pick up on that system. And we'll see what he can do once we get to training camp. He's going to get a fair shot, in my opinion, he's going to get a fair shot in training camp. Now, I don't know where they're going to end up drafting one. I think they're going to draft one. I'm pretty sure they're going to draft one. I don't know where that's going to be. If they trade up, if they stay where they are, if they draft one in the second, in the third round, something like that, we'll see. But I think Nathan Peterman is going to get a shot in preseason, and people shouldn't forget that he's here on the roster. And I don't think the coaches have forgotten that he's on the roster.
I agree. All right, a break coming up here. We'll get to the headlines at the top of the hour. We'll talk about that option for NFL playoffs reseeding that's been proposed out there. And more discussion on our topic of the day, the rookies from 2017, who stands to contribute the most, make the biggest leap forward in 2018. We've got phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive, where it appears to be a quiet day, despite the fact that franchise tags can go out today at 4 p.m. That's the deadline. Today is the first day teams can designate the franchise or transition tags on players. A two-week window that closes at 4 p.m. on March 6th. It starts at 4 p.m. today. NFL teams with three different options, a non-exclusive franchise tag, exclusive franchise tag, or transitions tag, not believed to be anyone who would merit that designation from the Buffalo Bills today. The Bills, one of their own free agents, linebacker Preston Brown, said they hit the free agent market a couple of weeks away, but he told SiriusXM NFL Radio last night that the team has reached out to his agent about potentially re-signing with the Buffalo Bills. Doug Martin, running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was released today. The team announcing the moves. It does not come as a surprise after he failed to get more than 450 yards for the second straight season. The Bucs saved $6.75 million on the salary cap by releasing him. Houston Texans have told running back Brian Cushing that he will be released before the start of the new league year in mid-March. Cushing suspended 10 games last year for violating the league's policy on substance abuse. Indianapolis Colts have announced that Reggie Wayne will be inducted into their Ring of Honor during the 2018 season. Wayne played 14 seasons for the Colts, a former first-round pick in 2001 out of Miami. Buffalo Sabres team meeting today, practice tomorrow, then they hit the road for a two-game road trip. They play at the Red Wings in Detroit on Thursday. They play on Washington on Saturday. Sabres home on Sunday night against the Boston Bruins. UB basketball on the road. They have clinched the MAC East title. Now the Bulls hit the road for a game tonight to play Miami of Ohio. Bulls still trying to chase down the MAC regular season title and the number one overall seed in their conference tournament. The Bulls 20-7, 12-2 in the MAC. More college basketball. The University of Louisville will use its national championship banner from 2013. The NCAA Infractions Committee announced today that it upheld the Committee on Infractions ruling that Louisville must vacate 123 wins, including the Final Four appearance in 2012 and the 2013 title. That is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones, I imagine our buddy Eric Wood is upset about that. I talked to him last week at the Fred Jackson Roast. Said he hasn't missed a game since the Bills season ended. He's a huge Louisville basketball fan.
Yeah, he might. If he's going back home, he'll be able to see a lot more games. But I'm sure he's a little upset about them having to vacate. And maybe we'll get some T-shirts out in Michigan soon.
I doubt it.
You know the kids will do it. Yeah, they'll do it. Trying to advocate as our national championship.
Yeah. I don't know what they do. I mean, Michigan had to vacate back in, what, 89. I don't know that a big deal was made. I think it just says vacant, right?
Really?
On the all-time list? I don't know.
Yeah, because, I mean, there are no moral victories. We lost the game.
Yeah.
So I don't want a trophy.
Lost the game to a team with players who were illegally recruited.
True. You lost the game because of that. But ultimately, you still, as a coach, there's so much pride in it that you're like, we still lost the game. And so I don't want that trophy. I don't want that just a hand-me-down trophy. I don't want that.
Right.
I mean, you know him a lot better than I do.
I know Coach pretty well. Yeah. I don't think he would take that, but we'll see. I'm looking up to see if what it says and who the champion is that year. 1989 Michigan, I'm talking about.
When they had to vacate.
When they had to vacate.
It's just interesting because
it must have been the year before.
I know coaches, and I know how they think. And they're like, no, I don't want it. I'm sorry. I don't want that. I'd rather. Now, you might get some coaches that feel like you cheated. Yeah, I want that trophy. You cheated us. And maybe coaches like that, but you know him a lot better, and you said you don't think he'd go for that.
I don't think so. Anyway, it's an interesting twist that Louisville has to vacate. We're not here to talk about that, though. We're here to talk about the Buffalo Bills with the franchise tag day. Also talking about some of the Bills' second-year players. Who do you think will make the biggest leap forward in their second year? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Alex calling from Clarence, New York. Go ahead, Alex. You're on the air.
Hey, John. I actually sent you a tweet earlier from Meerkat saying how I believe Deion Dawkins was probably the most important rookie going into that. A rookie, sophomore.
Yeah.
Listening to everybody call in and talk, it's made me think Matt Milano might become a very valuable piece for us, especially with Preston Brown's free agency looming. He didn't get a ton of playing time on the field this year, but when he was on the field, I mean, he was great. He was out there making plays. He seemed instinctive. Pro Football Focus loved him. And with age back there between Alexander and Humber, I really think Matt Milano could become a stud, especially in Sean McDermott's defense.
Yeah.
Hang up and listen.
Okay, yeah. So you switched your vote from Dawkins to Matt Milano. A lot of it, quite frankly, deals with what happens, I believe, what happens with Preston Brown, Donald. I really do.
Preston Brown, I mean, Humber, too. He talked about a lot of age. We don't even know if Humber's going to be here. If Preston Brown's not here, could you see them moving even Lorenzo inside? If Lorenzo can still show that he can move around and like he did in a playoff game, could you see him in the inside?
No.
No? Not at
all. Love Lorenzo. I don't know that that would be an answer. You think that's for real?
I mean, I'm just trying to – I know he likes speed at the linebacker position. I know that. And Lorenzo showed that he still has some juice left in the tank, especially in that playoff game. But for me, on the outside of this thing, I just think that they want some young guys and some guys that can go sideline to sideline, some guys that can cover. So I can see Milano being on the outside more than being on the inside.
Hmm.
So I'm not sure, you know, where Lorenzo will fit in. I would like to see Lorenzo with his hand in the dirt a little bit more than he was last year, though. Because when he did, especially at the end of the season, he started to put some pressure on the quarterbacks. And we know what he was the last year under Rex. With his hand in the dirt, obviously he went to the Pro Bowl, won Pro Bowl MVP. I would like to see him rush the quarterback and get them sacks.
We'll see what happens with Preston. This is an interesting report. Preston on SiriusXM NFL Radio last night. His quote is, "The Bills have reached out to my agent," which is his mother and somebody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
"The Bills have reached out to my agent, and that's where I want to go. That's always been the number one choice, but we all know this is a business, and you never know what will happen. I just love Western New York, so hopefully I can go back." It's about as good as you can expect from Preston Brown at this stage, right? Wants to come back, loves it, loves playing here, knows that there is a role to play if he comes back here, I would think. But we'll see. We brought this up last week, and I don't want to overplay it, but there is a question of fit for what the Bills want to do defensively with Preston Brown. I'm not sure he is their perfect, prototypical middle linebacker, inside linebacker. I'm not sure. I'm not saying he's not, and I think he was productive and certainly attentive and had his best year as a pro this past year. But is he the perfect fit? I think that will go into how much money the Bills are willing to offer Preston Brown, Donald. What do you think?
Think we'll see his mom out at the combine?
She probably will be.
Yeah, right. We know this stuff happens at the combine. Yeah. I mean, they talk to agents and everyone at the combine, and she's a part of his team, so she might be out there. In terms of fit, I think Preston can play middle linebacker here. And I know we look at Coach McDermott and having Luke Kuechly, and he wants a guy like Luke Kuechly. But I think, and we had Lorenzo on. Lorenzo feels like Preston is on his way to a Luke Kuechly. Preston lost a lot of weight, showed that he can go sideline to sideline, maybe not as fast as Luke Kuechly, but we all know that you have the physical tools, but then you also have the mind. And the mind, I think Preston is improving every year in terms of how smart and instinctive he is at the middle linebacker position. And being able to come downhill, make tackles, but also go sideline to sideline and make tackles. So you have both of those things. Then you also have the fact that he can play in a bunch of different defenses for you, as he's shown throughout the course of his young career. And I just think ultimately he was the quarterback of the defense, and I think that's important for Coach McDermott, especially not knowing if Kyle Williams is going to come back or not, like your leaders who are up there in the middle of that defense.
Our buddy Mike Giannitti, who was in last week, did a really – you know, we talked to him about some of the some of the market valuations he had for players, and he didn't have everybody, but he's got a much more complete listing of market valuation than I have here somewhere. And I believe he's got Preston Brown as a $9 million a year guy.
Mm.
Yeah, now you're thinking, aren't you? Right? That's what the Bills will think. That's exactly what the Bills' reaction will be. Huh, $9 million.
$9 million.
Let's think about it.
let's think about it. But at the same time, I think there's more value in Coach McDermott's defense at the middle linebacker position than at the cornerback position. The corners are very important, but I think they feel like they could get a guy for cheaper because the front seven of this defense, I think, is the most important part of the defense. And I think the last year, the way it played out, look, things happen throughout the course of a season, and you have to be able to adapt. But I think ultimately the design of Leslie Frazier's defense, Coach McDermott, a defensive-minded coach, those guys want to be able to play football with their guys up front. The front seven. The front four are very important. The linebackers are very important. The cornerback positions, I don't think they put as much high stock on those guys back there. You want to have some good ones, but maybe you want to be able to draft those good ones and have good young players back there rather than paying $9 million for E.J. Gaines. I think they would just rather pay Preston Brown the $9 million.
Going to be interesting. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550 as we get through some of these phones. John calling from Lockport. Go ahead, John. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hi, guys. Returning caller. Listening at work right now, actually. I just wanted to bring up an extra point about Jordan Matthews. Do you guys think we have a possibility of bringing him back? Because his first three seasons, he actually had a pretty good year. His first year, he had just over 800. His second year, he was just short of 1,000. His third year, he had just over 800. And last year, you know, he kind of, you know, got in a bad situation. He got hurt his first week here. So, you know, playing through an injury or, you know, a healed injury that's not fully healed kind of hurt him. And then, you know, getting injured later in the season. Do you think he has a real shot at coming back, you know, to play with us? And I also have one more thing to say. Donald, just wanted to say I'm going to miss you next year. I actually had a chance to meet Lorenzo Alexander, and we had talked a little bit. Going to miss joking around with you guys, so just want to hear what you guys have to say to that, and I'll hang up now. Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, man, I'll miss next year as well.
You'll be around a little bit, right?
I'll be around a little bit. You guys will still see me a little bit. but, yeah, I'll definitely miss you, Murph.
Oh.
I'm going to miss you.
You'll be around, though.
I'll miss hearing Jay's little voice.
The pitter-patter of
his feet. Little feet and, you know, his little hands flailing all around and all of that stuff.
what was his first point?
I don't know. We went totally away from it and started getting sentimental here on set.
Yeah, I forget. What was his first point? It was interesting.
I truly forgot, too.
Oh, Jordan Matthews.
Okay.
Jordan, I don't know. I mean, it's all money. You know, at the right price, Jordan Matthews will be back. Don't you agree now?
Yeah, I think at the right price. And Jordan Matthews right now, he's a guy who – and it's a tough situation for Jordan Matthews, right, because he was a guy who caught the most passes – for the Eagles, or maybe second most passes for the Eagles, I think, behind Zach Ertz last year. Then this past season, he comes in, and you're thinking, like, he gets traded here, and you're like, okay, Jordan Matthews is going to be the number one receiver here. And then he had some good games, some better games for them, but never was really getting the ball that much because of the style of offense that they were playing, because of, I don't know, maybe the quarterback not throwing to those guys as much. And then he gets hurt. He got hurt twice. He got hurt the first day here, but then he got hurt again. He ends up on IR. Well, he got hurt in the Atlanta game, comes back, still having a good season, but still not as many balls as I'm sure he would like. Then he gets hurt again and goes on IR, has surgery, right? So if he's even healthy, he has to go into – in his mind, yeah, I want to break the bank, but I don't know if I can break the bank right now because of the season that I just had. So I'll do a one-year – let me prove it and just bet on myself, get through that season, make a few million in one season. And then next year I'll hit the free agent market again and I can break the bank open then. So I would think that the Bills might approach it that way. He should approach it that way and gamble on himself and come out and have a good season. I think he's a good player. And I think you need to have a Jordan Matthews. If healthy, you need to have him around because he can do a lot of damage for you underneath.
Love his leadership ability too, you know, and I'd love to have him be a fit here and you know, be part of the mix at receiver. They got to get better. Maybe draft somebody, get that speed guy we talked about. They need more from Zay Jones, Calvin Benjamin back for another year. But I would love it if they could, as you said, and it'll come down to money with Jordan Matthews, right?
That's exactly what it's going to come down to, just money. How much money does he want? Is he healthy, number one? But then how much money does he want? And I can't see him saying – most players are saying, yeah, I want to get paid. But I don't see his value right there on the market right now on the free agent market, teams are going to say, man, we can give you, you never know. Mm-hmm. The Redskins will do it. But we can give you $7 million a year. I don't see that for him right now. I see him somewhere in a prove-it deal because he was really injured this year.
Speaking of Jordan Matthews, the Bills tweeted out today, congratulations to Jordan Matthews on getting married. Did you know that? Looks like he got married yesterday or today.
No, I didn't know that he got married. I know that Jordan Poyer got married. I saw tweets, and I saw someone tweet. They had the picture, and then they captioned Steph Curry and Drake.
Yeah.
For Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. It was a picture of Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. Yeah.
Do they know who they look like? I don't.
Not to me.
Not to me either.
Not to me. It's just two light-skinned guys, so everybody. So everybody put Steph Curry and Drake on.
No, I don't see that if that's the case. Preston Brown, linebacker. Let's again, as I said, spot track, market value for Preston Brown. Are you sitting down?
I am.
This is our buddy Mike Jannetty. We had him here in the studio. He puts his market – he's a free agent. We know that, Preston Brown. Market value is 4 years, $33.8 million, an average of $8.4 million per season, which would rank him 7 among inside linebackers. Comparable to who? A little bit less than Christian Kirksey. A lot more than Zach Brown. A lot less than Alec Ogletree. A little bit more than Danny Trevathan. So that's what they've got Preston Brown at. Seems about right.
The biggest thing.
Seventh ranked inside linebacker.
Yeah, and I think, see, here's the thing with Preston Brown. If the Bills want Preston Brown and him saying that they have reached out, I think it's smart for the Bills to reach out right now and try to get something done because, and you hear Preston saying, I would love to be back. But I think ultimately, if Preston is, I would think how most players think, I want to hit the free agent market. I want to see what it's like for me out there. And then if it doesn't work out, which some guys it doesn't work out the way they think it's going to work out, then they end up coming back and they might have to take some less money. But you're talking about Preston Brown, a guy who has shown that he could really quarterback the defense, number one, a guy who has shown that he's versatile, he can play in multiple schemes, a guy who lost weight for you so that he can go sideline to sideline. You look at the stats, and this dude has been up in the top 10 in the league in tackles the last couple of years in a row. And the biggest thing is that he's durable. This dude does not miss games here in the NFL. And that is so valuable for any team, especially at the linebacker, middle linebacker position, where you need for that guy to quarterback the defense. So you have to imagine that on the market, teams are going to look at him and say, we can pay him because you know he's going to play. Or at least you can, based on past history, this dude does not get injured like that. He does not miss games. And he can do all of these different things for you, yeah, we can go ahead and pay him. So the Bills need to try to lock him up before the free agent market opens up.
Sounds like, according to Preston Brown, that's exactly what they're trying to do. We'll see how that works out. The report from Preston's own interview on SiriusXM NFL Radio last night that the Bills have reached out to his agent. So that here we go, right? Basically, here we go. And we don't know if they've reached out to E.J. Gaines, nothing from that. But
right.
Those look like the two key guys of their own, right, Gaines and Preston Brown. And the fact that Preston acknowledges they've reached out means, what does it mean? It means we're thinking kind of the way they are, right? We're speculating on who would be the priorities. All along we speculated E.J. Gaines and Preston Brown. So if Preston says they've reached out to his agent, that means they're thinking that way as well. Good. I think that's
good. I think those are your top two guys that you have to worry about. Those should be your priority, and they're going to be the top two guys in terms of money. And when you talk about the returning guys, those are going to be the top two in terms of money, guys that are going to get paid. You have to wonder, have the talks begin with Kai Williams? You have to wonder, because that decision has to come down here very soon, because you got to figure out, number-wise, how much money do we have to pay Kai Williams? How much money is he trying to get paid if he wants to come back here? So, you know, those two are the top. And then right after that is Kyle Williams. And then I think you could look on the offensive side of like a Jordan Matthews, Deontay Thompson, those guys.
All right, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Talk about Preston Brown now with the revelation that he has had contact. His agent has had contact with the Buffalo Bills about re-signing here. Preston says that'd be his first choice. And I want to know from you which second-year Buffalo Bills, which guys coming off their rookie year, have the greatest ceiling, the greatest room for improvement to be major contributors in 2018. Phone lines open, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Donald, I want to switch gears a little bit. I know this got your attention. Jay Harris, our producer, told me this. There's the NBA. Adam Silver says the NBA is considering reseeding its playoff to make their tournament 1 versus 16. In other words, getting rid of East and West. A writer, Michael Colangelo, for Touchdown Wire on USA Today, says the league, the NFL, should do that. He says it's actually easier and more beneficial for the NFL to seed 1 through 16, still provide some buys for division champions, but make you know, add a couple of teams, right? It would be an addition of four more wildcard teams from 12 teams, right, to the 16 total. Or, yeah, four more teams. He said the league can still make everyone division champion, but then should make the wild card the next four records. That keeps teams, you know, in the hunt, obviously. And but to have it like that, so the top four seeds, or I'm sorry, the division champions would be one through four. Top records there get a bye, and then you got 12 teams playing out games, you know, on a 1 through 16 basis. What do you think of that? Are you in favor of that?
I like it. I like it because there are years that you have, and this is. You know, if it was something like that, there are so many years that you had teams that are like 8-8 or 9-7, like the Bills just made it in, that end up in the playoffs in, on the AFC side. But then you look on the NFC side, and there were teams that probably could have really would have gone in ahead of the Bills because they had a better record than the Bills. They didn't end up in, but in that city, in that organization, they're like, man, if we just had a chance to be in this thing, I like it. It just gives you a chance to have the teams with the better records all across the league. Yeah, you have your divisional winners and all of that stuff, but ultimately the teams with the best records make it in. If you're not a team with one of the better records, then you don't make it in. I mean, it just makes it – for me, it makes it more fun.
The only thing I would object to would be adding four more teams. I just think, you know, you don't want to water down the field. I think it should be hard to get in the NFL playoffs. It was damn hard for the Buffalo Bills for 17 seasons to get in the NFL playoffs.
It's hard this year.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to water down the field anymore to add those extra teams. But could you do it then with you know, the current 12-team format? Why not?
The top 12? Yeah, I mean, I don't know why he said to add four more teams. For me, you can do it with 12 teams.
Right. I would be okay with that.
Yeah.
So, and but it would eliminate conferences, right, in the playoffs. So you wouldn't necessarily have an AFC champ and an NFC champ. I mean, you could have Philadelphia, Minnesota in the Super Bowl. Would everybody be okay with that? I don't know if I would. I guess I'm more of a traditionalist in that regard.
Yeah.
I mean, to eliminate AFC versus NFC, you're ready for that?
That would definitely change the way you look at everything. And then you have to look at – there's a lot that goes into that, and the NBA can get away with it a little bit easier because they don't have the AFC, or they don't have the Eastern Conference playing on one channel versus the Western Conference playing on another, So you're talking about TV deals and everything that would probably have to be reworked because the AFC plays on CBS in playoffs and everything throughout the regular season. The NFC plays on Fox, playoffs and everything. So if you just do now just straight up the best teams – that's going to have to be worked out when you talk about the playoffs.
Yeah, and, I don't know if I'd TV be up deals. I like AFC versus NFC. Yeah. I like having that distinction.
I don't know. It could be fun, but I know there's a lot of logistics that have to be worked out to make that happen.
Anyway, interesting proposal. We're talking with you about Bills rookies going into their second year, and we've got a caller who wants to talk about Preston Brown, John in Buffalo. Go ahead, John. You're on the air with us.
Hey, what's up? First of all, I did not know Don was leaving. Where are you going?
Where are you going?
Well, I got to go back home, man. I got to go back home to the family. Missed the family. I got some family members that were things that I got to handle back home. So I'll still be around. Don't you worry about it, John.
No matter where you go, Lorenzo will find you.
Lorenzo will find me. Yes, he will. On Twitter, in my inbox, in my text messages, everything. Just talking trash.
Midnight at your front door. Okay. I got a question regarding Preston Brown. I remember last year after – well, two seasons ago, at the end of two seasons ago, Preston Brown, who led if not the Bills, if not the league, in tackles, they let him go, and I don't believe he got an offer more than $3, $4 million. What's the difference between Zach and Preston Brown?
Well, the difference is I think Zach had some off-the-field things that he just wasn't a fit here, and I don't know if he was a fit really around the league for a lot of teams. You know, he had some things that – he had to deal with off the field.
He wound up, I just looked it up, with a one-year deal with Washington worth $2.3 million.
Yeah.
And SpotTrac has no estimate for him, but their estimate for Preston Brown, $8.4 million, so almost four times as much. Look, Preston Brown's a better player than Zach Brown. Tackle numbers aside, I think.
Yeah, he's a better player. He's a better leader. I think Zach was a guy who, I don't want to say he wasn't instinctive. The dude was fast, though. He's a track runner, you know, and he always talked about he ran like a 4.4 or something like that. He played better on his sure just talent. Preston Brown is a guy who really works, a guy who is really smart, a guy who does not get hurt, a guy who is a leader on your defense. And when you look at all of those different things, a guy who can play in multiple defenses, you look at all of those different things, and I think teams will value that more than just the short talent of Zach Brown, plus the off-the-field stuff.
And Zach Brown, I think when he came here a couple of seasons ago now, came here primarily, they thought, as a special teams contributor.
Yeah.
Exceeded that, clearly. But didn't get paid, you know, really. I mean, $2.3 million is a backup for Washington.
Yeah.
Probably got paid what he was worth. And Preston, I think, is worth more because he has more to offer these teams. It's a fair question, though. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk more about this. Preston Brown and his report that the Bills have been in contact with his agent. Also going to talk about which second-year Bills, rookies last year, have the most to contribute this year. Lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free, 1-888-552-550. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
On a Tuesday afternoon from One Bills Drive, John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. A little rain, little clouds outside here in Orchard Park. We are a week away, essentially, from the Combine. Donald and I will be down there at the NFL Scouting Combine in beautiful Indianapolis starting next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting drive. Try not to get pulled over. Hey, they're doing the they got all the boats set up.
Yeah, the boat show's
there.
Here, right on the other side.
I mean, when is it actually
start? I think it starts tomorrow.
I feel like I remember last year, that entire week that they did the boat show, it rained.
Yeah.
And it was kind of warm.
Yeah. Get you in the mood.
It does.
Some nice boats out there. Some big ones.
I mean.
I usually go around and look at them and then wind up getting my roof fixed. You know? This year I'll go around, look at boats, and wind up spending money on a chimney. Yeah. Something stupid like that instead of buying a boat. That's welcome to my life.
Hey, man. I feel like, I mean, I know when you have a house, you're always doing something.
Yeah.
But. Like last year, you did your backyard for a long time. Instead
of a boat.
Yeah, your backyard. But you got a jacuzzi, though, out of it.
Yeah.
A hot tub. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
A chimney is not as fun.
No, a chimney's not going to be any fun.
Yeah, that's like, all right, the chimney's done, now what? I mean, look how much money I just spent on this thing. At least a hot tub in the backyard.
You can see it.
You can go outside, chill, sit in it, and feel great. A chimney, it's not like you're going to go sit in your chimney. No.
A roof. I mean, I actually, a couple years ago, thought about getting like a little captain's hat and going up and sitting on my roof and having people take
pictures. That's some real old man stuff.
Here's my boat.
Hey, who is that old man on his roof?
There's my boat. It's a roof instead. Speaking of spending, free agency starts March 14th, which is a couple of weeks. What's tomorrow's date? Tomorrow's the 21st?
Tomorrow's 28th, the 21st.
So it's 3 weeks away from tomorrow. Free agency. The tampering period starts a few days before that. Legal tampering. We're talking about the Bills and what they should do. Preston Brown.
What's the day on Tyrod Taylor?
March 16th, I think, is the deadline.
The deadline. Okay.
Yeah, that's when they owe him the money.
Right.
If they're going to keep him.
We won't get a decision till then.
Well, maybe. We'll see. Your thoughts on free agency? Your thoughts on which second-year Bills players, rookies last year, have the most to contribute in the upcoming season? Let's take a few calls on that issue. We'll go to Robert calling from Oregon. Hello, Robert, all the way from Oregon. Welcome to the show. Good to have you.
Hey, thanks. So I've taken the playoff goggles off. I was very excited. I was at the Jacksonville game.
Oh, good.
But
I think we talked to you about that, right, Robert, your trip to Jacksonville from Oregon?
Yeah, it was great. It was great. Very exciting. Look forward to being in Jacksonville this year.
You probably looked for a touchdown that weekend and didn't see a Bills touchdown. That had upside.
Heard a lot of Duval being screamed on the loud.
Yeah, Duval, what is that?
I hope we take care of them when they come up.
Yeah.
But I look at last year and I see, you know, we missed on Watson and Mahomes. They look solid. Okay, we'll move forward to this year. It's a sunk cost. We got tremendously lucky to get in the playoffs. And we traded Sammy and Marcel, and I don't think we adequately replaced them. I understand that there were reasons for those trades, but as I look at possibly having close to $40 million in dead cap space this year for our team. And knowing that we have a possibility to have a limited amount of draft picks if we trade up for a big-time quarterback, I think that all of our 2017 rookies must grow a lot and prove more this year. I think all the way from White to Vallejo, they have to step up. Some of them have to be higher-level starters than they were this past year. I know they got a lot of opportunity. And I think that at the very minimum, it puts a lot of pressure on that class as well as this class. So I'd like to hear more from you guys about how much pressure does the state of our roster in terms of the salary cap space and the dead cap money and possibly limited draft picks play on increasing the pressure on this year and last year's draft class.
And by limited, you're saying because they're going to use them to move up to get a quarterback.
Yeah, if we – well, in a few ways. So if we move up to get a quarterback, we're limited in our resources to add cheap, you know, rookie talent.
Right.
We already have a bunch of folks that were on one-year deals that we're going to have to replace with limited cap space. So I'm just looking at that and saying whoever's left has got to step up.
Yeah, no question about that, Robert. And that's good forward thinking. I would think, and I know this, the Bills are very happy with what they got out of their 2017 draft class.
Oh, yeah.
And have no, I'm sure they have no reason to think that there wouldn't – I mean, look, you can't forecast greatness for all of them, but I'm sure they're thinking they're tracking in the right direction, these 2017 picks. And it's Dawkins. It's Peterman, I think they feel pretty good about. It is Vallejo, who played a little bit last year. It's really all of them. I think they need more from Zay Jones. But I would think, is that pressure to expect more? No, I think that's the natural course of things, isn't
it? That is the course of things. It's pressure when you make it to the playoffs. There's pressure on you next year to make it again and have a better season than 9-7. I mean, that's just what it is. And the fact that you had rookies that played well, a good amount of rookies that played well, yeah, it's pressure on those guys. They set the bar. So now people are expecting for you in your sophomore year to have an even better season. And those guys understand that. And it's not even like the pressure is something that will get to them because, oh, man, I had a good season. I got to have a better season this year. Every year in this league, you know I got to play well because the guys up front or the guys upstairs, the front office guys, the personnel guys, they're always looking for somebody that is cheaper than you. And once you're in your second year, yeah, there's somebody that is cheaper than you. I don't care if you came into this league undrafted. You're in your second year, you're making a little bit more money than you did last year. And there's somebody that they can bring in undrafted that is cheaper than you. They're always looking for somebody cheaper. So you always have that pressure on you. It's not just the bar that you set in your first year.
Here's a call from Manny in Hamburg. Go ahead, Manny. Your thoughts on this issue? Second-year players are going to contribute? What do you think?
The Twitter question is a little bit hard to understand. If you're saying that Zay Jones, or not Zay Jones, but Trey White is not the guy because he played so well, then you got to go with Peterman because he did not show, I think, what he can do last year. And depending on how the Bills draft, if they draft a rookie that they don't want to start right away, and they draft a guy, a veteran, to back everybody up like Fitzpatrick, Peterman might just well be the starter this year. And he might really do well with the proper offensive coordinator, keeping guys back to block when they play a team with the two best rushing defensive ends in football in the NFL last year. I think Peterman could do a very well job. And if he plays well, he'd be the guy that would contribute the most.
Yeah, that's the argument for him. Yeah, if he plays well, he certainly would be. I would submit that Milano and Dawkins would also be in that category, guys who are potential starters. And I think the opportunity to start is probably more real for Matt Milano and Deion Dawkins than it would be for Nathan Peterman. I'm not ruling him out as a starter. If he is a starter, they need him to play well and need him to improve. No question about that. But I would say because I anticipate that Milano and Dawkins are going to be starters, that those two are the ones that I would focus on as the guys who have the biggest ceiling here, the biggest jump they can make in their second year.
Yeah, because they're going to be starters from day one. You would think they're going to be starters from day one. They were rookies. Now you're in your sophomore season. You're going to go through a full off-season program, the weight program, diet, all of that stuff, and just getting used to a new system. Everybody's getting used to a new system. That's the only thing – well, not Milano, because he's going to be back in that system. But on the offensive side, that's the only thing that you worry about, even with a guy like Deion Dawkins, is this is a new system. So what type of running game are we going to be playing? You know, what type of passing game are we going to be playing? What type of blocking and techniques are you asking of me from the offensive coordinator? But other than that, those two guys, because they're going to, I think, be day one starters, they're going to have the biggest improvements this year.
Take a call here from Tyrone. Hello, Tyrone. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with us. Good afternoon.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
Okay, so my comment is that Shaq Lawson, to me, he's still essentially a rookie since he's been injured like the past two seasons, and his body of work on the field seems to me to be trending downward and upward. And so my question to you guys, one, is that do you think the Bills should look for a defensive end in the draft to help out that defense, that pass rush? And also, a lot of the reports coming out about quarterbacks, no one seems to be mentioning T.J. Barrett or really Lamar Jackson. When they do talk about Lamar Jackson, it's almost in the past tense like, oh, and Lamar Jackson, according to, you know, along with all these other quarterbacks that they have. So I'm just wondering, like, you know, what do you guys feel like about the trend on T.J. Barrett and Lamar Jackson? Like, do you think that, you know, these guys can actually come in the league and actually contribute? I think, you know, with Lamar Jackson, he's the most, to me, most exciting quarterback in this year's draft. So I'm just wait to hear what you guys have to say on those two guys.
Okay, thanks, Tyrone.
Yeah, in terms of Barrett, not really sure about Barrett. I mean, he's a big physical guy. He kind of reminds you of Cardale Jones. But he can come in here and make some things happen. We know he has a big, strong arm. I haven't watched him enough to even give a fair evaluation of Barrett. Now, Lamar Jackson, on the other hand, is a guy who is dangerous. Now, obviously, you draft him knowing that you're getting a mobile quarterback that you really have to teach how to scan the field. I'm not even saying stand in the pocket. You have to teach him the sense of scanning the field, going through his progressions, making the reads, and making the plays when the play is there to be made, and not taking off using those legs all the time. Not that you want to change his game, but you want for him to be able to go through progressions and make plays. So that's something that you draft him knowing that you have to do. The Houston Texans drafted Deshaun Watson knowing that he needed that. He needed to learn how to go through progressions and make plays. And until he got hurt, it was looking like, man, this kid is good. This kid can really play in this league. Now, we'll see if he can duplicate that in his second year or get better and stay healthy in his second year. But when you have these mobile quarterbacks, you draft them knowing that though the legs that they have, great weapons, those are something that you want to teach them not to rely on them so much, only when you really need to, you know. And we had somebody yesterday, and Steve and I were talking about this, and they were like, I mean, if you're going to draft Lamar Jackson, why don't you just stick with Tyrod Taylor? And it's a valid argument. I think Lamar Jackson has shown that he makes – I don't know if he makes more throws than Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor, though, has played in this league a long time. He's not going to turn the ball over. If you're going to draft Lamar Jackson, yeah, he's dynamic, but he might come in here and throw more interceptions than Tyrod Taylor. You know, so for me – I think if you're thinking about Lamar Jackson, you might as well just stay with Tyrod Taylor.
Hmm. On this other issue about Shaq Lawson, I think it's a little early to, you know, you said he's trending downwards. Shaq started 10 games last year. It wasn't a total washout for him last year. Got 10 starts. I think he had 6 starts in his rookie year. Needs to stay healthy. Needs to be more productive. It would seem that Shaq Lawson is a better fit in this defense, last year's defense, than it was in his rookie year, but he certainly has to be more productive. Look, if they're going to get better front seven-wise, I'm not looking to throw guys out. And I think there were a couple of flashes from Shaq Lawson last year that indicate that, you know, as he matures, and I believe he needs to mature, as he matures and gets, you know, more accustomed to playing in the NFL, he could be a pretty good player up front. I wouldn't close the book on Shaq Lawson yet. I don't know that the coaching staff has yet either, Donald. They'd like to see more? Absolutely. And it starts with him staying healthy. As I said, 10 starts for him last year. Not bad, but not a full season.
Yeah, you want for him to stay healthy. And you need it for him to produce some more. And to be honest with you, I mean, you're talking about a guy who in his first year wasn't playing what he's used to playing.
Right.
And then he comes back this year, and he's back in his defense, and he didn't produce like you would want him to. had some injuries, and then he was out for, the rest of the season. So I don't think that you can close the door on him yet.
No.
I mean, he's just too talented coming out of college.
Yeah.
You got to at least give him one more season, another year in this defense to where okay, he knows what he's supposed to be doing out there. He's comfortable in this defense. And then if he's the same way and he's not producing, then you can start to think about that. But I think you got to give him at least another year to really produce.
He'll be a third-year guy. I want to know from you second-year guys, rookies last year. Who are you looking for the biggest jump up? Maybe it's Trey White. Maybe it's an artfully worded tweet that we got out there on our Twitter poll. But let us know what you think on the telephone lines, 803-0550. Toll-free from outside Buffalo. Excuse me, 1-888-550-2550. Back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Good to be back, Donald. Good to be back here. Yeah. What are you eating? You're eating something.
I'm eating some crackers.
Eating some crackers. All these.
These four-minute breaks.
Not doing us any favors, are they?
No, not at all. But I'm getting a lot of tweets here.
Yes, sir.
About Lamar Jackson.
Yes, sir.
Comment on they should just stick with Tyrod Taylor if you're going to draft Lamar Jackson. First of all, I don't even think that Lamar Jackson will go in the first round.
Really?
I don't. I think that teams will take those first four quarterbacks. I think that Mason Rudolph will end up getting drafted before Lamar Jackson. He would be somewhere in the second round just because, yeah, he's a dynamic athlete, but their teams, national reporters, people who really cover this thing, scouts, always talk about you need a guy who can throw from the pocket. You need a guy who can throw from the pocket. So with that being said, I think teams will overlook Lamar Jackson. I'm sorry. As dynamic of an athlete that he is, when you look at how teams really look at these quarterbacks, they feel like you need a guy who can throw from the pocket. So with that being said, and my comments on, if you're going to draft a guy like Lamar Jackson, you might as well keep Tyrod Taylor. Here's the thing. And people are saying you're a fool if you think that Lamar Jackson or Tyrod Taylor is better than Lamar Jackson. Right now in the NFL, Tyrod Taylor is better than Lamar Jackson because Lamar Jackson hasn't played in the NFL yet. You don't know what any of these guys can do in the NFL. So you can't say, well, this dude is better than this guy. No, you can't say that because they haven't played yet. Lamar Jackson could get in the NFL and totally just ball out. He could also get in the NFL and think that he can do the same things that he did in college at Louisville here at this level, and they totally shut that down. So you can't say that he's better than Tyrod Taylor right now. You can't. You don't know how good he is at this level.
Polian set up a firestorm, right, with his comments. Did you guys talk about it yesterday with Stevie?
No, we didn't talk about
that. Polian said yesterday, as far as Lamar Jackson, quote, short and a little bit slight, clearly not the thrower the other guys are. The accuracy isn't there. I don't know if anybody would go to war over the accuracy issue, and he's certainly not the thrower of the top guys, the top three or four guys in the draft. Short and slight, though. He's 6'3".
I wouldn't say he's short.
No.
At 6'3".
Is he slight?
You
can
say he's slight. I mean, he's not.
He's not a beast.
He's not like built.
Cam Newton.
Yeah, but he's on the skinnier side when you look at his build. I think ultimately, and here's another thing that really worries these NFL GMs. If you're drafting a guy in the first round, especially these mobile quarterbacks, these guys end up getting hurt. Even Cam Newton has now changed his style because he's gotten hit so much. Now, he's a bigger physical quarterback. He's big like LeBron James, so he can take a lot more hits than a guy like RG3 could. But RG3, when he started to run around and he got hit, what happened? He was done. He never was the same anymore. You look at other quarterbacks that want to run around, they get hit, especially these skinny type of guys. They get hurt, and teams are really scared of that. I'm taking you in the first round. I need you to stay healthy. I don't want you always just running around outside, not sliding, thinking that you can take hits, and then all of a sudden you get hurt. So I think that he's going to end up sliding. I think he's going to slide into the second round, then a team will take him, but I don't see him being a guy who's going to end up going in the first round. I could be totally wrong because he's a dynamic athlete, but when you talk to scouts and you talk to different personnel guys, and obviously when you listen to national reporters, everybody says you have to have a guy who can throw from within the pocket and a guy who can stay healthy.
Here's a caller who wants to talk about Lamar Jackson. Aaron from Aaron from St. Catharines, Ontario. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I obviously wanted to touch on a few of Donald's comments about Lamar Jackson. Donald, would you pay Tyrod Taylor $20-plus million a year now going forward?
No.
Signing a person like Lamar Jackson and having him as a rookie contract and then spending your money elsewhere like the D-line, O-line, or linebacker position and seeing the upside and obviously in Lamar Jackson, and you already know what you're kind of getting with Tyrod, and I understand like his rapport with the team is already there and he's been comfortable with the team for 3-plus years now. I just think that if you're gonna move on from Tyrod, and I understand they're similar players, but you're saving a lot of money by signing somebody like Lamar and focusing your attention somewhere else and then having healthy competition between Pip Peterson and Lamar Jackson in the spring.
Yeah, I mean, when you ask that question, would you rather pay a guy like Tyrod Taylor versus drafting a Lamar Jackson? I mean, nah, you don't want to pay Tyrod Taylor when your team is, what, 31st in passing and you're – almost dead last in passing a couple of years in a row. No, you don't want to pay that quarterback. But ultimately, you do want a guy who you can trust can make all the throws from within the pocket. And a guy who you can never trust a guy to stay healthy, but at least a guy who's making throws from within the pocket, not trying to run around all the time. Not saying that Lamar Jackson will run around all the time, but when your quarterbacks get out there on the edge, defenses want to tee off on those guys, you know, so you have that worry. I mean, when you phrase it like that, yeah, you'd rather draft a kid and hope that he can develop, but do you feel like he can develop into that guy?
All right, we're going to break. When we come back, we're going to talk with a special guest, Will Brinson of CBSSports.com, covers the league, and he's got some interesting thoughts on Nick Foles, on Lamar Jackson, on a number of issues around the NFL. We'll bounce some of these ideas off him. He's coming on with us right after the top of the hour, which is coming up next. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive. It is Franchise Tag Day in the National Football League. It starts at 4 o'clock. The first day NFL teams can designate franchise or transition tag on players, a two-week window that closes on March 6th. The Bills not expected to use any of their tags. Three different tagging options to NFL teams: non-exclusive franchise tag, exclusive franchise tag, or transition tag. Around the league, a couple of moves out there. Doug Martin, running back Tampa Bay, has been released. Does not come as a surprise. He failed to rush for more than 450 yards for the second straight year. Bucks will save $6.75 million on their cap. Houston Texans have told linebacker Brian Cushing he will be released before the start of the new league year in 3 weeks. Last year, Cushing suspended 10 games for violating the league policy on performance-enhancing substances. Second time in 7 years he suffered that suspension. 5 games played for Brian Cushing last year. Indianapolis Colts have decided to put Reggie Wayne, wide receiver, former first-round draft pick, on their Ring of Honor at Lucas Oil Stadium sometime during the 2018 season. Buffalo Sabres with a 3-2 loss yesterday at KeyBank Center to the Washington Capitals. Kyle Okposo, Evander Kane with the Buffalo goals. Sabres meeting today. They practice tomorrow, then hit the road for a 2-game trip. They'll play at Detroit on Thursday, in Washington on Saturday. Next home game for Buffalo, Sunday night, 5 o'clock against Boston. College basketball, the UB Bulls hit the road now with their 20 wins. They go to Miami of Ohio for a game tonight. The Bulls have clinched their second MAC East title, now trying to chase down the MAC regular season title and the number one overall seed in their conference tournament. 20-win season for the UB Bulls. And the University of Louisville is going to lose its 2013 national championship. The NCAA Infractions Appeals Committee says it has upheld an earlier ruling that Louisville must vacate 123 wins, including the 2013 title and a trip to the Final Four, as punishment in the school's escort case. Big news in college basketball. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy and Donald Jones from our One Buffalo studio. Donald, you've ignited a little firestorm of yourself on your comparison of Lamar Jackson and Tyrod Taylor. Reiterate what you've said. You've said that if you choose between the two, you would go with Tyrod Taylor. Is that what you're saying?
You choose between the two. I'd rather keep a guy who has played in this league and you know at least what he can do in this league, rather than draft a kid like Lamar Jackson, don't know what he can do in this league. Can you say he's more dynamic than Tyrod Taylor? I mean, in college, you could say this kid is fast. You could say he's run around. He's made some plays. He has made some throws. But you don't know what he will do here in this league, you know? So you're talking about bringing in the same type of player, and you don't know what that player can do.
Right.
I mean, that's
just. He
doesn't. Yeah, he hasn't done it yet. I just think that they want to get better in passing. Is it a great thing to have a guy who can use his legs? Yeah. It's also a great thing to have a guy who can really get you a lot better in passing. And that's not something that you know will happen from Lamar Jackson right now. You just don't. You've seen him run around a lot and make plays and be a dynamic weapon. That's why you have guys like Bill Polian saying switch him over to wide receiver. You know, I mean, you're not saying switch any of the rest of these quarterbacks over to wide receiver. You're saying this kid, he's accurate, he can throw from the pocket, or whatever the case is. They're looking at Lamar Jackson a little different way. And I'm not saying you need to switch him over to wide receiver. What I'm saying is you don't know what you're going to get.
You don't know. Let's get a viewpoint from our next guest. He is senior writer for CBSSports.com. He has written about Polian's comments. Maybe you'd like to weigh in on Donald's take. Will Brinson joins us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Hey, Will, how are you? John Murphy, Donald Jones here in Buffalo. We appreciate you coming on the show with us.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Hope you're doing well. Hope your afternoon is going smoother than mine.
Really?
No, I got it. My son got overexcited and got a nosebleed, and so then my wife was texting me, asking me if everything was all right, and I was like, yeah, it's fine now, but I'm sitting here shirtless blogging about Kirk Cousins' contract. So I guess, in theory, I'm living the dream. I shouldn't complain about it. Right?
Yeah, it's a glamorous life of an national NFL writer like Will Brinson.
Right.
Hey, you care to jump in on this? Polian kind of got things started yesterday, claiming that Lamar Jackson is inaccurate, that he is slight, short and slight, and he'd be better off at wide receiver. My partner here, Donald, has some reservations about him, too. Where do you come down on Lamar Jackson as an NFL prospect? What do you think, Will?
Well, he's a fascinating prospect, for one, because he's so explosive. And I live in Raleigh, and I've watched ACC a lot. I've seen a lot of Lamar Jackson. That doesn't make me unique, but I still think he's hard to figure out. I mean, he's terrifying when he has the ball in his hands, right? And he can make anybody miss in the open field. And I understand the construct of you want to have this guy with the ball in his hands more often, but I don't understand the idea that you would say somebody is too short to play quarterback and therefore they need to go play wide receiver, especially when he's 6'3",
yeah,
which is plenty tall enough to be a quarterback in the league. The other thing, too, that I don't get is why you would want someone to switch from being a quarterback prospect to a wide receiver prospect. It's three months before you get drafted in either the first or second round. Like, Lamar Jackson is not falling out of the draft. He's not going to fall to day three of the draft. He's going to get paid handsomely, and someone's going to try and make him a quarterback. If he switched to wide receiver, it would hurt his draft stock. So that's a little weird to me. But I do agree with the construct that Lamar Jackson is a difficult prospect to pin down. And I think when you look at this draft class, there are two guys, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, that if I draft them and I'm a GM or a coach, I have no desire to play them in the first year. I think Lamar Jackson would be best served, going somewhere, maybe like in New Orleans, or, you know, even if it was Cleveland and there was somewhere with a veteran in front of him where he can sit and he can learn and he can take a year to study the NFL offense. He's an explosive and dynamic player. He improved last year, but there are reservations about how he will, you know, immediately step in and try to run an NFL offense.
Yeah, and I agree with you there. He does need to go somewhere and sit because of the fact that he hasn't really had to read NFL defenses or anything like that, right? So if he comes in and is a starter day one, you have to imagine he's going to rely on those legs like he did in college, because he hasn't had enough time to really – learn how to read an NFL defense. It's not going to slow down for him. Everything is going to be moving so fast for him that he's going to say, well, I can just take off and run. And that's when you get in trouble with these quarterbacks and they get hurt and different things like that.
And I think, too, like, you could end up in a situation, I hate to make the RG3 comparison is always lazy, like comparing quarterbacks who run, but you could theoretically, if you were a team that was desperate to win right now, you could construct an offense around Lamar Jackson's legs. And he would be potent and dangerous. Defenses would probably catch up midway through the season, but you would do him a disservice because he wouldn't be learning how to make reads and how to progress their defenses the way that he needs to become that franchise level quarterback. But I think the comp is Michael Vick, and Michael Vick has said it. I mean, you see that the way that he throws the deep ball, how quickly he can whip that arm and throw it downfield, the ability to throw on the run. I mean, he's a special talent. Like a lot of these guys, it's all about where you land and who's in charge of grooming you.
We're with Will Brinson, senior writer for CBSSports.com. Will, what about Donald's contention that for the Bills, they might be better off just keeping Tyrod Taylor around, paying him a lot of money, as opposed to, you know, taking a chance on the former Heisman Trophy winner? What do you think of that comparison?
Well, I think it depends on what the Bills want to be in 2018. You know, if their goal is to once again be a playoff-caliber football team, then I think they're better served having Tyrod Taylor there. Look, I guess the people in Buffalo don't love Tyrod Taylor, and it's been a weird relationship. And, you know, there are probably issues on both sides there where Tyrod's like, hey, look, I've been trying to get paid. You know, I don't know how many times I can be an accurate quarterback who doesn't turn the ball over and makes big plays before someone around here pays me. It feels, you know, it's like, when's it going to happen? I get it. It feels to me like there, you know, perhaps a split is better for the two sides at this point. But if the Bills are trying to win in 2018, then they are better served having Tyrod Taylor under center than Lamar Jackson.
Hey, Will, where do you think Lamar Jackson ends up going or coming off the board once we get to the draft? You said he's not going to fall out of the draft. I can actually see him sliding to, or maybe not sliding, but like the back half of the draft, maybe somewhere like the Steelers or something like that, or even early in the second round of the draft.
Oh, yeah, I think it's on the table for him to go in the second round. I had him going – I did a mock this morning that published a little while ago and had him going to the Saints, which I think would be an interesting fit because, you know, the stuff Sean Payton can do, you know, being creative on offense, his ability to work with him and train him, and he wouldn't have to start right away because of Drew Brees. So that was sort of the idea there. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he fell to the second round. I mean, you know, there are a lot of good quarterbacks in this draft. This is the most, and I'm not old enough to say ever on anything, but but I mean, I hate to say this, like, that was the greatest Super Bowl ever, you know, he said for the fifth year in a row. This is the most remarkable free agency draft combination of quarterback group that I've ever seen. I mean, you know, you have Kirk Cousins, who's a unicorn in terms of hitting free agency as a franchise quarterback, under the age of 30, with all his health intact. You know, you have a guy like A.J. McCarron who won his grievance and will at least intrigue other teams as a bridge quarterback. And then you have just a loaded draft class. I don't know that we can definitively say how many quarterbacks will go in the first round, but I think I would set the over-under at 4.5, and I would take the over, and I would anticipate that Lamar Jackson is a guy that ends up going in the back end of that first round. And the reason why, if you're a team that wants Lamar Jackson, you would want to get him in that first round. If you trade back into the first round to grab him, or even if you're the Steelers and you pick him up to, you know, eventually be the heir apparent, by going in the first round, you get that fifth-year option. And I think that's so critical for these guys. You know, we see that – I mean, like, if the Redskins had had a fifth-year option on Kirk Cousins, life would have been easier. I get that the Jaguars are committed to Blake Bortles, and that's perhaps a suboptimal place to be in, but they can rescind the fifth-year option if there's a better, you know, quarterback out there in free agency. They can, and it just, if you're a team and you're trying to control a quarterback for longer, that first round, bottom of the first, is so much vastly different than it is the top of the second in terms of your long-term control. So I would anticipate that at the end of the day, Jackson goes in first.
What about the rest of the guys? We were talking yesterday about this, and Murph, we might have been talking about this last week, but do these guys, are any of these guys, in your opinion,
the rookies, day one
starters, guys that you could say, man, we got to trade up and get that guy because he is a franchise quarterback for the next 15 years. Do any of these guys make you feel that way?
I think three of the guys could. You hesitate to say definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Sam Darnold has the best combination of ceiling and floor of all these guys. To me, Darnold would be the number one pick because, you know, it's easy to say, yeah, go get Josh Allen, but then you watch him miss a kicking net from 10 feet away. <You're> like, well, that could get dicey. Josh Rosen, I think, is in that same sort of category. And then I like Baker Mayfield a lot. To me, he's the NWO version of Deshaun Watson, this sort of, a not-safe-for-work version who does some things on and off the field that you would rather your franchise quarterback not do, but who just finds a way to win, can make all the throws, can play in different types of offenses, and is a guy that, you know, at the end of the day, won a ton of football games at the college level. And I think that matters. I mean, a lot of times we ignore that sort of stuff, and it comes back to bite us. We collectively ignored it with Russell Wilson, and we collectively ignored it with Deshaun Watson, and those were proven wrong pretty quickly. So those three guys, I would say, are going to be quality starters in the league. You know, of course, where they land can change that. And then Mason Rudolph, Pete Prisco mentioned it on our Pick 6 podcast on CBSSports.com, but he hears a lot of good stuff about Mason Rudolph, too, and thinks he'll end up going higher than people expect. And then Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen are the two real wild cards where they could end up being, you know, all pro top 10 quarterbacks given their talents, but you just don't know how they're going to develop. And at the end of the day, we don't know any of these guys, but I feel like the floor on three of those guys is pretty safe.
With Will Brinson, he is CBS Sports senior writer covering the National Football League. He's joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Hey, Will, you came out, I think, earlier today with a mock draft. We are early in mock draft season, but your mock draft includes the Buffalo Bills leveraging some of their premium draft picks to move up to number 5 in a trade with Denver. Talk about what you've mocked, what you think is plausible there.
Yeah, so the idea there is that the Broncos have gone into free agency and they have wooed Kirk Cousins away. And I get that the Jets are the favorite, but I still think there's a lot of work. You know, the hay is not in the barn on that one necessarily. And with Kirk Cousins on the roster, the Broncos had to make sacrifices. And this is all hypothetical, of course. Right. The Broncos had to make sacrifices that included cutting Aqib Talib and cutting Derek Wolfe off their defense to save some money in cap space. They didn't cut Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas because you can't get a franchise quarterback in town if you cut your top two receivers. It's just a hard sell. And so they go into the draft thinking, all right, we got this premium pick. We already got a quarterback. We need more bodies. Is there anybody out there who could use a quarterback who has multiple picks in the first round that might match up with number 5? Well, when you break it down on the old draft trade value chart, and I get that it's not concrete how that works, but teams still use it, 21, 22, and 71. Excuse me, 21, 22, and 56 given to the Broncos in exchange for number 5 and number 71. So the Bills would still have – they would have the 5th overall pick. They would have 1 second-round pick, their original one, and 2 third-round picks coming out of it as opposed to 2 first and 2 seconds and 1 third. And they move up and they get Josh Rosen, who was the quarterback sitting there for them, and they come away with the franchise quarterback and still some premium picks in that second and third day, and Denver gets to add a lot of depth as a result. And so I think that's a situation that if you're Buffalo – you have to entertain looking at the draft board, knowing you have those high picks. I think 4 in the top 56, that's a lot of ammunition to get up there in a year where there are a lot of good quarterbacks. And you're going to see teams who have quarterbacks, especially in the 7 to 12 range, are going to be willing to trade down and try and acquire more assets. It's a pretty good spot to be in if you're Buffalo.
And you've got the first 2 picks in your mock draft, Darnold going to the Browns, and then you got the Giants going with Josh Allen. So Rosen would be the 3rd quarterback off the board, going to the Bills at number 5 in your mock draft. And it's a move up that doesn't require maybe the sort of price that many people thought the Bills might have to pay to move up to number 5, right? I mean, some people think they'd have to start talking about next year's premium draft picks. But you think they can get that done with their 2 first, 21, 22, and 1 of their seconds? Oh, I think we lost John. Yeah, I think we lost him. We lost Will, and that was a hell of a question, too.
That was a hell of a question. Let me tell you what else. You're going to forget the whole question.
Yeah, I forgot.
That was
already
a great recap from the future, though. He went in-depth on that one.
Yeah. It's an interesting mock draft Will Brinson has. We'll try to reestablish contact with him. Darnold, he's got number 1 going to Cleveland.
And I can see that. I can see Darnold going to Cleveland.
Josh Allen, number 2 to the Giants?
That right there is where I get into, I don't really know, and nobody knows, but I don't see Josh Allen going that high.
I agree.
I don't see him going that high. I think when Mel Kiper put that mock draft out and said that that Josh Allen was what going to go number one, I didn't think that. And right now at number two, and this is not just based off the Senior Bowl. I think when you look at his tape from this season, I don't think scouts have him going that high. And I've had a chance to speak to a couple of scouts that said, look, this is not – the Senior Bowl is not – we didn't see anything Senior Bowl week that we didn't see out of him during his season, during his senior season. So, I mean, there's nothing different there. We've seen all of this stuff throughout the regular season, and I think that he'll end up being like the third or fourth guy. I think you have Darnold.
Third or fourth guy, not necessarily third or fourth pick.
No, quarterback I'm talking about, third or fourth quarterback.
Yeah, because he's got a number two overall pick.
Yeah, see, I don't have that. I think Darnold is going to go number one. I think Rosen will be the second quarterback. I think a team will take Baker Mayfield. I don't care about his height, what has happened on the field or on the sidelines, off the field. I think they're going to take him because of that passion for football and that will to win and that it factor. You had a couple teams that passed up on that last year, and I don't think teams are going to pass up on that this year. And the kid can throw. He's accurate. You know, the only thing that you can really say bad is things you've seen off the field and his height. But quarterbacks have gotten past that, and the kid has been accurate. Playing at Oklahoma, he's not coming from Mount Union. You know, this kid is coming from a big-time school, a big-time program.
You think Mayfield goes before?
I think he'll be the third quarterback to go, and then Josh Allen might come off the board as the fourth quarterback to go.
In fact, Will Brinson has Mayfield going six right after Buffalo to the Jets. Right, Will, are we back with you? Did you take care of everything, the bloody nose and everything? All set?
Yeah, you know what? I was actually walking around my kitchen answering your question for 5 minutes.
Oh.
I don't think it was a good answer, though, so I can re-answer if you want.
All right, if I can re-ask it.
Your phone hung up. Like, that's a horrible answer. Click.
That was a bad question. No, the question is, you've got the Bills. If they make this trade that you talk about in your mock draft, the price doesn't seem that steep. We've heard, you know, people talking about, well, to move up high, the Bills are going to have to give, you know, dip into next year's first round perhaps. You don't see you're using the trade chart, the value chart, but is that applicable when it comes to quarterback moves like this?
Yeah, totally. And now look, you know, there's a chance that you get to five there and the Broncos find other suitors and other people who want to try and jump the Jets. But here's the key, too, and of course they have Cousins in this hypothetical, the Broncos do, so the Jets are a much bigger threat to get a quarterback at six, so maybe it's worth a little bit more. But when you compare the numbers and you look at what Denver could walk away with, you know, they would have 21, 22, 56, and their own high second-round picks. So you're talking about four picks in between 20 and 56 in what I think is actually a pretty deep and talented draft, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And it would make a lot of sense, especially if those quarterbacks are pushing quarterbacks. And there's a lot of offensive linemen, I think, that will push people down. It's a good spot for a team like Denver in this scenario where they have a quarterback and they need defensive help and offensive line help for them to be able to sit back there and kind of pluck up guys that fall down later in the draft. And I just think that when you look at the Broncos roster in this particular trade, they would need more help in terms of depth and would be willing to make that move with Buffalo. I don't think Buffalo will have to dip into next year's first-round picks unless they want to get above five or unless it just gets, you know, really crazy out there and there's a big-time auction for that number five spot.
And Rosen is an immediate prospect, starting prospect. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, you saw certainly see, look, all these kids have flaws. We all have flaws. I think all of us, none of these kids are going to step in, I don't think, and be an all-pro out of the gates. But I think Rosen is the type of guy with a live arm, capable of reading defenses enough, can make all the throws, where he could come in and functionally run an offense and be a starter from day one. You watch Josh Allen on film and you say, wow, a lot. Like, the word is like, whoa. But you also wonder how he would look from day one, you know, as a day one starter, and you just have to question that. That's sort of why I think he fits with the Giants, since they have Eli Manning. I anticipate that the Browns will go with Sam Darnold, but, you know, who knows? They could fall in love with Allen, too. And then I think that really leaves Mayfield and Josh Rosen sitting there either for the Broncos or if the Broncos land Cousins, somebody like the Bills to trade up and grab.
You know, Will, I think two things. The most interesting team in this draft, or at least position, team and position, is the Giants sitting at number two. And you look at them, with Gettleman saying that, you know, Eli Manning is our quarterback. Not sure how long he'll be there moving forward. So you think at some point they want to draft the heir apparent to Eli Manning. But also, I think Saquon Barkley is a very, very interesting prospect. And it's hard for me to see him falling out of the top five. As desperate as these teams want quarterbacks, Saquon Barkley is a very good running back. And I think the Giants haven't had one in so long that they will take a long look at drafting Saquon Barkley.
I think you're right. And we were literally just talking about this on the podcast because it's so, like, you know that quarterbacks are going to have the value and you know that they're going to go early and you know they're going to push other players down the board. But I cannot fathom a situation in which this draft unfolds and Saquon Barkley and Bradley Chubb, who to me is the best player in this draft, and by a little, well, I don't say I'm biased, I'm experienced because I watched a lot of him this season. I think Chubb and Saquon Barkley have to go in the top five, but if that's the case, then that means only three of these, you know, four or five quarterbacks are going to go early. It's interesting, and you're right, the Giants are the linchpin because if they decide they want to have a quarterback to groom under Eli Manning, and we don't know how long Eli's going to play, but if they decide they want to have a quarterback, then all of a sudden it tightens things up. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they just said, hey, look, you know, the Cowboys drafted Zeke Elliott and got immediate impact out of him, and the offense really got rejuvenated. The Jaguars did the same thing with Leonard Fournette. And remember, last year Dave Gettleman drafted Christian McCaffrey number 8 overall, and I think Saquon Barkley pretty clearly is that I love McCaffrey, but Barkley's a more complete running back. It shows that Gettleman is not afraid to draft a back that high if he believes he can make an impact. And then I think everybody should know that Dave Gettleman is completely unafraid to draft a defensive lineman high, which puts Bradley Chubb in play for them as well. So I agree with you completely. I think the Giants, in a traditional sense, probably have to go quarterback, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if they did.
With Will Brinson, he's on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline with a CBSSports.com senior writer. I just want to ask one more post that you've put up recently, and that's about Nick Foles. Bill Polian is saying, Polian made a lot of news yesterday, that if he were the Eagles, he wouldn't listen to any offers for Foles unless they started with two number ones and two number twos. You think he's off base there, and in fact, you point out in a recent post that maybe the Buffalo Bills can put together a package for Nick Foles, although you kind of advise against it. Is that right, Will?
Yeah, well, I was trying to point out that you know, you can ask for two ones and two twos all you want, but there aren't a whole lot of teams that have those picks. The Bills obviously do. I don't think the Browns are going to trade their two ones and two twos for Nick Foles. And I think that both Cleveland and Buffalo would see their city set aflame with angry fans. And that's not no disrespect to Nick Foles and no disrespect to Bill Polian, who's a Hall of Famer and a legendary GM. But if anybody gives up four picks, two firsts and two seconds, for Nick Foles, that fan base is going to be very upset. And, yeah, look, I think Nick Foles is a good quarterback who is a really streaky quarterback and has had tremendous moments. Clearly the Super Bowl, you know, he's tied for the record for most touchdowns in a single game. Up until 2016, he had the record for for the best touchdown-to-interception ratio. But if you're giving up, if you give up four picks for Nick Foles, you are asking for a riot and you have you've priced yourself out of the market. So I don't anticipate that'll be the case. I think he ends up sticking with the Eagles because they need insurance for an injured Carson Wentz.
Well, last thing, and I know you cautioned earlier about saying there's never been this before, there's never been that before. I've been around a little while. I can honestly say I have a hard time recalling any offseason, any run-up to the draft and free agency where there's been this much intrigue about quarterbacks, both veterans and you know, potential good, solid rookie quarterbacks. It makes for a pretty interesting offseason that we have going on right now, I think.
Well, see, John, I was looking for your validation of my point there because you're much wiser and much more.
Yes.
But I think you're right. Like, you talk about this list of quarterbacks. And we didn't even mention the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo was going to be a free agent, but he got signed to a deal. And the fact that Drew Brees is – the Saints have no – method of protecting Drew Brees and keeping him out of free agency. He's a free agent. We just anticipate he's going to sign back there. It's entirely possible that someone like the Cardinals or the Broncos gets really weird and throws Brees a crazy dollar amount and he has to make a business decision. I mean, it's not off the question, right?
It's going to be fun. Will, thanks for this. Thanks for spending so much time with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure, guys. Anytime. Take it easy.
Will Brinson is the senior writer for CBSSports.com. Joined us on the Subway Fresh Steak Hotline. Subway, eat fresh. Right? I don't remember a time when there's been this much uncertainty. That's why, you know, we get calls, and we're not dismissing people who say, basically, you're telling us what you want the Bills to do. I don't know what they're going to do. There's a million different, you know, formulas here for putting together the quarterback picture.
And it's crazy. I mean, there's so many quarterbacks out there, guys that have had some good seasons. He talked about Nick Foles. Nick Foles has been a streaky quarterback, you know, and the Eagles are going to ask for something crazy because they do need insurance for Carson Wentz, an injured Carson Wentz. Maybe a team wants to get into that because they really believe in Nick Foles, but then you have all of these draft picks as well. And so it is crazy in a league that is so quarterback-driven to have so many guys that you could say, all right, that guy can come in here and win for us. You know, it's going to be fun to watch where these guys land. You're going to see some crazy dollar amounts here come off the board. You're going to see some guys get cut here, some cap casualty guys get cut very soon so that teams can try to position themselves to maybe make a run at one of these quarterbacks. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be interesting to watch. The draft is going to be fun to watch. I'm looking forward to it. Next week, it really starts it all with the combine.
Donald caught a lot of flack about his contention about Lamar Jackson. You may want to revisit that. Excuse me.
Full call us up.
Yeah, call us up.
Please.
Please, stay off Twitter. Call up Donald. He'll be polite, right? You won't try
I'll answer.
What do you think? Lamar Jackson, is he the answer? Plus, our original topic for the day, the Bills' second-year players, who stands to improve the most, to contribute the most based on what they did their rookie year? Phone lines open, 803-0550 and toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Plus, NFL true-false, still have that to do coming up. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
We're back. We're talking quarterbacks. That's what we do sometimes. John Murphy, Donald Jones. We're going to talk about offensive line today, Donald, because it's not always about quarterbacks as we set you up for the combine next week. And, of course, free agency begins 3 weeks from tomorrow. NFL draft coming up. Where do the Bills stand? The decisions they have to make today is franchise tag day. We don't anticipate any moves there. But what do you think?
You getting excited for the combine?
Well, you know, the combine, it's a grind.
It is a grind. But you know what I'm looking forward to?
I like Indianapolis.
Can we stop at the same Chick-fil-A?
Sure.
I want to say.
Now that I know where it is, I don't have to pull a U-turn.
Let's stop at the same one.
Get pulled over. Hopefully
we in Columbus, right? We were somewhere close to Columbus.
I think it was, south of Cleveland almost. I wasn't even that far
out
of Columbus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We'll go to the same Chick-fil-A. I'm not going to get pulled over this time. I'm not a speeder. We had an emergency to get to Chick-fil-A, and we had to cross
over
some medians. That was
great. It was really great. I'm sorry. The cop was all nervous. Like, wait, are you nervous?
I know. I felt bad for him. I felt like, just write the ticket if it makes you feel bad. I didn't say that. It'll be an adventure. No, I like the combine. We'll see a lot of people there that we know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have good shows. We'll have content, which we need. Mm-hmm. And we'll be diving into the draft. I continue my education on some of these quarterbacks, looking at the video. And a lot of people in favor of Lamar Jackson, Donald.
A lot of people struck a nerve.
Here's a call from Ivan in Buffalo with thoughts on that. Go ahead, Ivan. You're on the air.
Yeah, guys. I just want to say that every year the pro scouts are wrong about quarterbacks coming out every year. They were wrong about Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
He was slight and small. They were definitely wrong about Russell Wilson and Drew Brees because they said they were both short, but yet they both won Super Bowls. They were wrong about Johnny Manziel. They say he was great. They were wrong about Jimmy Garoppolo. They say he came from a small school. He wouldn't transition over. And so, I think the scouts are also wrong about Lamar Jackson because, he's a great quarterback, in my opinion. He can throw the ball deep. And if the Bills were to draft him, not only would they be getting a quarterback who could run like Tyrod, but he would be a better thrower than Tyrod, I believe. I think that he's a much more consistent downfield thrower. And my last comment will be is that if Buffalo were to draft, if Buffalo were to assign Nick Foles to the team, it would be a colossal mistake. Nick Foles is a system quarterback. No one wanted Nick Foles on their team before. Why now? Why throw out all his money to a guy who's been a perennial backup his whole career in the league? And he showed 1 year that he played well. He had a Cinderella season. I think it'd be a big mistake for any team to throw
big money after Nick Foles. So I'd just like to hear what you guys have to say about that.
Yeah, Ivan, I don't know if it's not money right now.
Foles is under contract.
Is he still under contract? You're talking about what the trade will be, you know, in terms of draft picks, in terms of players. And that's the biggest question. I mean, if you want Nick Foles, I think that you offer what you offer, what you're comfortable with. If the Eagles come back and say, no, we need this, 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 and this, then you got to just get out of the Nick Foles sweepstakes. Just because I think ultimately the Eagles don't want to let go of Nick Foles. So that means that they're going to come back and they're going to counteroffer you with something ridiculous. And just to see if you'll go for it, if you really want him that bad, give us all of this stuff, and then you can have Nick Foles. But I think ultimately he's not going to be a guy who gets out of Philadelphia. And there's too many other free agent quarterbacks. There's too many draft picks to really give away everything to try to get Nick Foles. I don't care what type of run he just went on.
Yeah. His earlier point, too, about Lamar Jackson, you need to clarify. You're not – I mean, you see the limitations in Jackson's game potentially, but mostly it's the uncertainty, right?
That's my thing, yeah.
Yeah. You don't know. Just as the caller said, Ivan said a minute ago, you know, the scouts are wrong. The scouts, you know, may or may not be wrong about Lamar Jackson, too. Maybe he's good, maybe he's not. He's an unknown quantity as a rookie coming in. And that's why I think, don't let me put words in your mouth, but I believe that's why you have some hesitancy whether you would, go all in with Lamar Jackson.
You know, scouts were definitely wrong on Deshaun Watson last mm-hmm. year. They've been wrong on Russell Wilson, definitely. I think the two things that those guys had, and I'm not saying Lamar Jackson doesn't. I think Lamar Jackson is a fierce competitor, wants to win. But Russell Wilson had shown that he could play in a pro-style offense when he was in Wisconsin. And then he went to North Carolina State. He played in a little more spread open type of thing. But, a lot of teams passed on him, and then he had to prove it once he got there. Deshaun Watson was a guy who played in a spread out offense. He'd thrown a lot of interceptions. Scouts were saying different things. He hasn't played in a pro style. He throws too many interceptions. He's not the biggest. He's something like 6'3", or maybe he might be like 6'2", something like that. But for me, the biggest thing on Deshaun Watson was he had that desire to win. He had – that was the it factor for me. And it was like, this dude is a competitor, and he had proven that he could play against – yeah, he won. Again, and he played very well against Alabama, which you could say is as close to an NFL defense that you will get in college football. Now, with Lamar Jackson, he has played in a wide-open offense. He hasn't played from under center. So those are things that people are going to talk about. Does he compete? Yeah, he competes. He can throw the ball. He can run the ball. You know all of that. What you don't know is, I mean, you've never seen him play against an Alabama defense and really have a good game. You've seen him actually get shut down in some games. You know, defenses can shut him down. So what you don't know is, can he come in here, take snaps from under center? Can he come in here and really learn how to read the defense? Deshaun Watson was a guy who was more of a pocket passer than people thought that he was, especially like just fans. He was a guy who really does throw from the pocket. He could get out and he can make plays with his legs. But I think he's shown more of throwing from the pocket than Lamar Jackson has. Lamar Jackson is the guy who will run around and make some big throws down the field. And because of that, I think there's just too much unknown with Lamar Jackson. I'm not saying that the kid is not better than Tyrod Taylor. All I'm saying is, you know what Tyrod Taylor can do in this league. You don't know what Lamar Jackson could do in this league. And that's really all I was saying. I know I struck a nerve there. But
you struck a nerve. That's okay. Phone line's open.
I love it.
803-0550, toll free 1-888-550-2550. It's not always quarterback talk. And we're trying to go through on a day-by-day basis here different position groups as we approach the draft, approach the combine next week, and, of course, free agency, where the Bills are, you know, what they have, what they need. Today we're going to talk about offensive linemen. Tomorrow we're going to talk about wide receivers and tight ends. And Thursday we're going to talk about running backs. Friday, quarterbacks. What do you got?
The tweet I got, he said, your take stinks. Why not draft Jackson and let him learn? Who better than T-Rod to learn how to be a pro? OC certainly has a skill set to maximize his skills. You're too young to have an old man thinking, boo, you and Polian on the porch.
You didn't say convert him to a receiver.
No, no. I didn't. I don't like that thought process at all.
No.
Convert these guys to receivers.
Offensive line, what the Bills have, what they need. Bills under contract on the offensive line. You know, they're pretty well set up on the offensive line, Donald, with maybe one exception. Under contract, interior guys, guards and centers. They have this group, Ryan Groy, Richie Incognito at a pretty high pretty high salary cap level. John Miller didn't play much last year. Vlad Dukas, who did. Deion Dawkins, we're going to call him a tackle. Cordy Glenn, Jordan Mills. That's the offensive lineman that they have under contract. Guards, centers, tackles. We anticipate Groy will move in his second year of his new contract and play center. I'm anticipating Dukas is back. I'm anticipating Dawkins moves in to play left tackle. I'm anticipating Jordan Mills comes back to play right tackle. I think Cordy Glenn's future is uncertain, possible trade bait. John Miller, who knows? But that's who they have under contract. And the only unrestricted free agent they have is Chantrell Henderson, who could figure into this as well. You should be able to re-sign Chantrell Henderson coming off his rookie year with all of his health issues. You should be able to re-sign him at a very manageable cap number, I would think. And he could factor into the thinking at right tackle, I would think. What do you think?
Yeah, you like I think that? So. Yeah, he would factor into the thinking. And I wonder, you have these guys under contract, and I wonder if they're set on all of those guys. Yeah, at the contract they're on, or if they feel like they could trade some guys. The offensive line, even though you have all your guys from last year, there were times where we were like, man, this offensive line is just not getting it done.
Right.
You know, so it makes you wonder: are you truly do they feel like they're truly set at the offensive line?
Yeah, we don't know, but it looks like there's certainly sufficient numbers coming back. I think Dawkins provides hope for the future. Incognito's contract, and he's been, what, three times now in the Pro Bowl, so it would be hard to, you know, go to him and say we need restructuring. Maybe they will.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Groy, they've got settled in. Dukas, you know, is what he is. I don't know if he's a great answer there. There are free agents out there that they might be interested in. I don't think they're ready to pay a lot of money for any of these guys. Interior guys, Andrew Norwell of the Panthers, Justin Pugh from the Giants, Josh Klein of the Titans, Jack Muir of the Colts, Jari Evans from the Packers. Outside guys, tackles, Nate Solder of the Patriots, Juwan James of the Dolphins, Cameron Fleming from the Patriots, Greg Robinson of the Lions, Chris Clark of the Texans. Centers, some out there, Ryan Jensen of the Ravens, John Sullivan of the Rams, Weston Richburg of the Giants, Matt Paradise of the Broncos, Greg Mansa of the Texans, restricted free agent. Mm-hmm. Don't know that there's going to be any name free agents coming mm-hmm. on the offensive line for the Bills. And by name, I don't even mean like a Vlad Dukas name, a guy they picked up last year in free agency. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get any big, big names. You know, people say, well, you can get Nate Solder from the Patriots. I don't see that happening. I don't even see the Patriots letting him out the door. But I could definitely be wrong. But I think they're going to find a guy. If they're not sold on this offensive line and they want to bring somebody in through free agency, they're going to find a guy who they don't have to pay that much money to. You know, there were a couple of restricted free agents on there. Maybe they'll send out an offer sheet to one of those guys and see if their team wants to match them to bring them back. Guys that they don't have to pay big money to, just because there are so many holes on the defensive line. And I think the defensive front is a very important part of this team. And if there's money to be spent, that's where they're going to spend their money, is that defensive front, linebacker and defensive line.
All right, let's get to NFL True or False. It is brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. It is the first day, 4 o'clock today. It'll be the first time that teams can put the franchise tag on anyone. There's a post in the Los Angeles Times written by their Rams beat reporter Gary Klein that says Sammy Watkins is a candidate to get the franchise tag from the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams should put the tag on Sammy Watkins. Man, that's a lot of money. They don't want to let him get loose, obviously. They just traded for him. I would think they'd have to consider that. I would say true. I mean, they should consider it, deeply consider it. Watkins, still with the strong upside, still doesn't have a great year of production. You know, he really was behind Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods when it came to offensive options. The receiver tag, $16 million. They gave up a lot to get him. E.J. Gaines in the second rounder this year. They need to keep him. So with that in mind, I think they should consider putting the franchise tag on Sammy Watkins. What do you think, Donald?
I'm going to go with
– it's a tough call, isn't it?
It's a tough call, yeah. I'll go true on that
one. Because you hate to think of $16 million for 1 year for Sammy Watkins.
For Sammy Watkins, right? A guy who, yeah, he has some touchdowns for you, but, you know, when you franchise your guys that you truly feel like we need this guy and we don't want to let him out the door, and I don't think that they feel that way about Sammy Watkins. So you know what? I'm gonna change that to false for our guy out there, Thomas. Go ahead and change that for me. And go to false, because I don't think that they really feel like we need Sammy Watkins here. The only way I see them franchising him is if they want to franchise and try to trade him.
Can I say this? This is exactly the dilemma the Bills would be in today mm-hmm. had they not made the trade. Remember back on, what was it, August 10th? Why would they trade Sammy Watkins? This talented player. This is the reason. This was one of the major reasons. Signability. What do? Do you have to tag him? This is exactly where the Bills would be had they not made the trade. Now, they got a decision to make on the guy they got in return, E.J. Gaines, but it's certainly not as a financially impactful deal that this one will be.
Yeah. I mean, last year we were in a crazy situation. And like you said, this is the exact situation that you're in right now, trying to figure out, should you franchise him? Should you pay Sammy Watkins? There's just too much unknown with Sammy Watkins. A great potential, but he hasn't shown you that he is a true franchise receiver, number one wide receiver on a consistent basis, right? And so that's why they went ahead and traded him to try to get some value back for him so that you're not stuck in this situation.
Close call. Sammy Watkins, franchise tag today or not? We'll find out. We should know in the next, well, if not 4 o'clock today, the next couple of weeks. NFL true or false. This is a piece that ESPN did comparing the two quarterbacks came out the same year, Jameis Winston to Tampa Bay and Marcus Mariota to Tennessee. Mariota over Winston after 3 seasons in the NFL. They're not going anywhere this year. But was Mariota, in retrospect, a better pick than Jameis Winston after 3 years in the NFL? It's a really good piece. ESPN talked with the talent evaluators around the league, got there, and they talked about it in depth. I mean, they got deep into the what these quarterbacks bring. Mike Sando, ESPN senior writer. I would say true. Mariota has been a better pick than Jameis Winston. A little bit more on his resume to show for it, playoff appearance. And I think the upside is greater for Marcus Mariota. The athleticism he's demonstrated, he's a really good pocket passer, seems to be able to handle, complex offensive concepts and what they're trying to do down there. And I think Winston is a little bit of a live wire. Great athlete, can make some throws, but I would say that Mariota has been a better pick than Jameis Winston a couple of years into it.
Yeah, I go true on this one as well. I think that Jameis Winston is a guy with crazy talent, but the biggest thing with Jameis Winston is the interceptions. And so because of that, to this point, yeah, Marcus Mariota has been the better pick. And I think you could say moving forward, if he has the talent around him, he's going to be the better quarterback and probably accomplish a little bit more playoff appearances. I'm not sure about a Super Bowl run. You never know about that. But I think Marcus Mariota has a better upside right now than Jameis Winston.
And can I say this? I think Mariota would have been better served if the Titans had kept Mike Mularkey, a real offensive guy,
yeah,
as opposed to making that coaching change. They got
right.
a
defensive head coach now. So, yeah, you could be right. You could see a drop-off in Mariota's play because you don't have a true offensive mind as the head coach.
All right. NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. Donald and I back to the John Murphy Show. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. I thought Will Brinson was a really good guest today, Donald, from CBSSports.com. Covered a lot of territory, including Lamar Jackson. We asked him to evaluate the former Heisman Trophy winner Lamar Jackson as a draft prospect for the Bills and the rest of the NFL.
I do agree with the construct that Lamar Jackson is a difficult prospect to pin down. And I think when you look at this draft class, there are two guys, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, that if I draft them and I'm a GM or a coach, I have no desire to play them in the first year. I think Lamar Jackson would be best served going somewhere, maybe like in New Orleans, or even if it was Cleveland and there was somewhere with a veteran in front of him where he can sit and he can learn and he can take a year to study the NFL offense. He's an explosive and dynamic player. He improved last year, but there are reservations about how he will immediately step in and try to run an NFL offense.
Yeah, no kidding about Lamar Jackson. We see the reservations too, and teams have them too. Josh Allen, we talked about this as his second overall pick to the New York Giants.
I can't see it based on his season and based on obviously the Senior Bowl. But teams draft based on potential. His size, his arm strength, all of that stuff. You can see a team saying, you know what, we can develop that right there. So it wouldn't shock me.
What makes it somewhat plausible, and I say somewhat with very many reservations, is you've got Mel Kiper out there saying he's had him number one overall.
Right.
Which is like, what? But here's the thing. If you do that, and Will Brinson is correct that Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson would be a developmental project, are the Giants in position to give up their first round this year to develop Eli's successor?
That is my thing. I mean, yeah. I don't know if they're in position to do that. And the Giants are a team that last year, not this season that just passed, but last year, I mean, they were on a good run.
Yeah.
And they still have all that talent on that team. So yeah. You would think, like, man, they want to win now.
Yeah.
So you need a player that can step in day one and play for you now.
Yeah. The draft approaches. We an hour from now, the franchise tag deadline approaches. We don't anticipate any moves from the Bills, but we've been surprised before about that. So may want to keep close to BuffaloBills.com to check on that. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Production assistants, J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, our producer, Jay Harris. Donald, we'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Thanks.
Thank you.
Back tomorrow at noon with the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.